Okay, Joel, where are you? You're filling your sippy cup. It doesn't take that long.
Have you seen his sippy cup?
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Come on! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, happy birthday, Brickside Brewery. Joel reviews Boss, and it's cleanup week in Copper Harbor. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire.
Memory or die!
Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 143 from the Monadnock region. In Southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And two shows in a row, from the Man Cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, this is Michael, the virtual Youper.
What? What, the Man Cave?
Yes, two times.
Jeez, incredible.
You're on Youper Studios.
You're on a roll.
Yes.
Really? Jeez. Well, It's been a slow week. We do have lots of notes suddenly, considering that I didn't have time to put to circulate a show notes page until about, I'd say, 45 minutes ago. So,
yes.
But it was filling in fast, so we'll see what happens here. Weather was kind of beautiful this week. We did get some rain here. We needed it, so it was starting to get a little bit dry, at least in our area. The Monadnock region, because normally when you have spotty weather, it goes north of the mountain, and so we miss out on that. So, you sure that's a star show? I'm sorry. I'm reading down in the notes. You might be right.
Right now.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. Geez, really? You think?
Are you looking at it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks
for that.
Book of knowledge. We're talking about the Entertainment Last Month episode this week, which we'll get to. And another thing happened this week here at the QRM studios. Unfortunately, I was still at work, but my wife had a visitor, and she got plenty of pictures of Mr. Bear. He's back in town. He's been in town for a little bit because he's already been over the Shepherd's Hook. Matter of fact, we had to buy a new Shepherd's Hook the first time he came through. Because that's the one that he's been bending for a couple years now, and I bent it back, and it didn't make it this time. So he bought a new one. Now, this time he didn't... he's here in a daylight visit, and he was just sitting there on his back feet and kind of standing up, and the bird feeder was empty. So he was kind of disappointed, but he still stood there for a while, and Emery got some good pictures of him. And he's probably about, when he's standing on his legs, and he's standing, when I say standing, he was standing up. He was standing up on his legs, and he's about 4.5-5 feet tall, I'd say, when he's standing up, based on, where he was with the bird feeder. Mm-hmm. So, nice-sized bear. I don't know whether this is the original bear, because he looked fairly young, so this might be one of the cubbies coming back.
Oh.
Because we've had a couple of years.
A more grown-up cubby, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple of years in the past where we had a mama bear come through, and she had cubs a couple times. So, I don't know. This could be one of the cubbies all grown up. But it's always fun to see the bears.
Yes.
The bear.
Well, I know that certainly surprised the heck out of me that morning.
And as long as you're not outside, and of course that just means when I take Sammy out for last outs, I'm a little more vigil, because you know it's dark, they're black. I don't want to mix. But Sammy actually knew he was coming because Anne-Marie said he was outside, he had his nose up in the air, sniffing the air 10 minutes before he made his appearance in the backyard. So he knew somebody was around. It's interesting how they can figure that out or sense it. But Anne-Marie, when Anne-Marie saw him doing that, she brought him inside. And, of course, he was going back and forth from sliding glass window to sliding glass window, you know, thinking, ooh, look, big doggy to play with. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to play with all the animals that are in the backyard. We have deer almost every night back there. And matter of fact, he looks for them. He waits for them and looks for them. And then he gets all... He runs back and forth, you know, on the inside, saying, "Oh, come over here, play with me." every night on the way home from work, when I've been coming down our road, Great Road, right around where the house, where, well, there's a house that they have giant geese, pet geese. It's like a log cabin.
Right.
Has great views of Monadnock. But every night this week, when I was coming down there, and I came at various times, a deer always crossed in front of my car. And so I've been vigilant about that too, coming home at night, because every night that week, of course I slow down, because usually if there's one deer, there's two deer. And
yeah.
You know. But yeah, so it's a the wildlife.
Sorry.
I was going to say the wildlife is plentiful here right now.
I was talking to a buddy of mine that I play with, Call of Duty with, on Xbox Live, who said he has never, ever, ever, he's out west in Vegas, has never seen a deer, period, like jump out across the road where you have to be careful. And I was trying to explain to him about what it's like on backcountry roads where there's literally thick trees on either side, and when it's dusk, you know, they're not the brightest of bright. They'll jump right out and get, you know, startled by the headlights of a car, and next thing you know, they're through the windshield.
Yeah,
I just took for granted that everyone knew and experienced or saw pictures, and he's like, why are they jumping out in front of the road? Why don't you stop? I'm like, because you can't see them until they're out in the middle of the street, in the middle of the road. And he's like, well, why? And because he's in the desert. They don't have trees on either side.
One stride is 30 yards.
Woods on both sides. Yeah.
It took a second for it to dawn on me. And I'm like, that's right. He has no woods, no thick woods either, on either side of the road. So, yeah, you could see him coming a mile away.
Well, they still have problems with kangaroos in Australia, and the only problem with kangaroos is there could be I don't know what they call them, a herd of kangaroo. But if they're crossing the road and the herd gets divided, like some are on one side and some are on the other side, and a car's coming down the road, you would think that they would scatter away from the road, but they don't. Wherever the leaders of the herd are, the ones on the other side of the road will go in that direction toward them, even if it means crossing the road at the wrong particular time. Uh-huh. So they don't have the smarts to go the opposite way. They go wherever the leaders are in the group. So that's why you hear about
a group of kangaroos.
Yeah.
Is referred to as a mob or a troop.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. So the troop sounds better because it's like, they march toward the leaders no matter what.
So. A mob or a troop. So yeah. I didn't know that either. I mean, you know. Then again, it's not like you come across a lot of kangaroos here in New Hampshire. Yeah.
But when you're driving down in the outback and you got these straight, they call them highways there, but they're two-lane roads, and they're in the desert, basically, and you're driving, and you can see for miles and miles and miles, and you'll see, you know, if you look down the road, you'll see, like, this little bump of something on the side of the road way down, and we played a game, and it was called what was it called? Camel, Cal, or Roo. And so, and basically, you had to guess: was that lump a dead camel, a dead cow, or a dead kangaroo? On the side of the road, they got hit by one of their.
Sounds like a cheerful game.
One of their truck trains that drive up there.
It must be the Australian version of I Spy.
Yeah.
I spy with my little eye a corpse.
Yeah. Well, those truck trains too. They some of those actually have grills in front, like whatchamacallit, on the trains. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you know it's basically, you know, it's a regular, you know, 18-wheel truck. Tractor mm-hmm. trailer. But instead of one trailer, they've got like they'll be hauling like five trailers behind.
Right,
them.
And they're all 52 footers.
Yeah. And right. and when they're driving at night, because the roos are out and everything, they tend to, and like I said, these highways are actually just two-lane roads. They tend to drive in the middle. And if you're coming the other way, they don't move over. You have to move off to mm-hmm. the side of the road and let them pass.
Right. Well, I can tell you, on a similar note, although nowhere near as long, we can only run... In the States here, we only run tractor trailers with two 53-foot trailers and the dolly in between. Mm-hmm. But when I was driving a part-time tractor trailer there for a company and right there in New Hampshire, up in Jaffrey, you'll notice on the front of the tractors, any of them that run through the woods have what they call moose bars on the front.
Huh? Yeah.
A big, giant smash roll bar that's mounted on the front. And Hello? Those are just...
Hey, Marty.
Hey. Are we rolling, Bob?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah, well, the butter wouldn't melt, so I put it in the pie. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. You're mixing your artist error.
Yes.
Yeah. I do recognize the references.
Hey, cool. That blew me away when I was listening to the Scarborough Dude show start up, and I was like, whoa, he listens to Dylan.
You always, of course, does.
Pardon me?
I said, of course he does.
He's quite a character.
Yeah.
Oh, Joel, I was going to ask then, do you have Kanga Moose out there?
No, Kangamoos, at least not that I'm aware of, but I know when we were being instructed by the company that if a moose, or especially if a deer, because I was hauling tankers of gasoline and home heating fuel, so I don't know if you guys know the weight, but on average you have to have special permits over a certain weight. I think a lot of times it's 76,000 pounds is your average tractor trailer, 18-wheeler. Hmm. We 76 or 86, I don't remember anymore. We used to have special permits. We ran at 127,000 pounds.
Wow.
Okay.
With triaxle trailers with the gasoline. And with the moose bars on the front, which was, if anything, i.e. moose or deer, steps out in front of the truck, do not hit the brakes.
Right.
Smash it.
Mm-hmm. With the front of the truck. Training on the ambulance.
Exactly, and that
you do not slow down. You do not hit the brakes.
Right, you ram it, and literally that bar is designed to split the carcass. On it'll rip the fenders off, but it'll keep it from going through the windshield. Yeah. But right. If you were to hit the brakes per se on the truck, you could risk jackknifing and or flipping that trailer full of gasoline, and then you've got an absolute nightmare on your hands.
Yeah,
that's nice. In my case, because I had an inexperienced driver once when I was taking care of a cardiac patient. A deer jumped in front of the ambulance, and he slammed down the brakes, and I went flying through the back box of the ambulance until I hit the front wall.
Wow.
Wow.
That was the part that hurt the worst. The cardiac monitor coming back and hitting me afterwards was the part that made me go. Oh, man.
But, you know, it's got to be hard.
It's like insult to injury.
Yeah, it's got to be hard to resist hitting the brakes, though, when you see something like that.
Realistically,
the problem is, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You were going, and you got the floor.
No, well, I was interrupting you in the first place. But yeah, the problem is, my partners, the EMTs, they understand that they do it all the day long. But occasionally, we have working with paramedics, and they're the ones that have a hard time overcoming that instinct to hit the brakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Yeah, they actually trained us, and you train when you have a CDL, you trained professional driver. It's one of the toughest things that you have to train yourself to do is if you see a deer or a moose, once you've identified it, to actually maintain your fuel. You don't want to floor it.
Yeah.
But you want to maintain that speed.
Oh, you don't want to take your foot off.
If you take your foot off, you stand a chance of losing control.
Ah, okay.
So what you're going to do is you want to maintain the speed through the hit, then get your foot off and slow down in a controlled fashion. And trying to just keep your foot, you see something there, knowing I have to hit this. Usually it happens so damn fast you don't even realize it. Because you know how deer are. It's just like you're driving and you think you see one out the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
By the time your brain realizes, oh shit, that's the deer, it's already in the grill.
Yeah, that's true.
At that point.
Yeah.
But, the tough part is one of the stories I've told some guys while driving and pulling fuel up out of Boston to bring it up in the New Hampshire is, it takes forever to try and get any speed when you got a truck that's 122,000 pounds uphill.
Yeah.
And it's an 18 speed, so you're rowing, which is what they call shifting gears a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's called rowing because you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hit the button, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, hit the button, 11, 12, 13, 14, hit the button, 15, 16, 17, 18. Now I'm finally up to 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're ready for a nap already.
Exactly. And you're thinking, holy crap. And the first time someone jumps on the highway and I had this, I don't know, this little yellow Datsun full of like 15 teenagers. It's a two-door car. You know, all lowered to the ground with the wheels and the goofy exhaust and paint job and all. This guy pulls out doing about 9,000 miles an hour, gets in front of me and it slows down, like stood on his brakes.
You're kidding.
And I'm thinking, no, God, I will never forget that because I you know those 9 lives they say cats have? I lost one. I saw, when you see your life pass, and I was on a bridge to boot, which means if you get in an accident on a bridge and you flip or roll the truck and it dumps, you're putting gasoline straight into a body of water.
Well,
not to mention, if I hit these assholes, I am going to roll right the hell over top of them. Ain't nobody coming out of that car alive. There's a trolley brake up by the steering wheel, which is a lever that applies the brakes only to the trailer, not mm-hmm. to the tractor. And of course, this is the middle of winter. And I grabbed that trolley brake and yanked on it so hard I snapped the ball off the end of the handle to try and slow down. Because if you hit the brake pedal, when you're going to start the jackknife because all the brakes come on.
Yeah.
And these guys, to this day, I don't know if they realized or if the driver realized or if any of the passengers of that car realized just how close. I'm going to assume that they were of a Christian faith, how close they got to meet Jesus.
Well,
when a Mack truck almost ran over the top of
them. What was going through their brain when they passed you flying and then they hit the brakes once they got in front of you?
That's just the way they do it in Massachusetts.
Exactly. It's just that they're not thinking.
Yeah, I would treat them just like the deer and the moose.
But it doesn't work the same way with human beings.
It really doesn't. But I'm sorry.
They look like a deer to me, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the yellow Nissan that's got the lowered kit and where the wheels are all, the camber's all screwed up because the wheels are towed out. Yeah, it looked like a white-tailed deer, so I ran over top of it. Realistically, it doesn't work the same way. At all costs, you avoid human injury.
Yeah.
And if that means I got to roll the truck with me in it, then I roll it.
I don't know. They better not have me program the new self-driving cars. Because, yeah, that would not be one of my things to avoid.
This is the idiot algorithm.
Nope, yeah.
No,
idiot.
We'll call it. I'm not sure if I want to hit anything in one of those self-driving cars.
Well, that's...
You mean starting something as small as a curb?
Well, I bet if they
did 10 miles an hour, would take that thing out, and you'd be through the windshield.
But they're talking about, now, of course, this is way in the future, but they're talking about replacing truck drivers with automated tractor trailers on the road.
Never, ever, ever going to happen. Too many things can go wrong where a split decision has to be made, and just applying the brakes isn't always the right move.
If
it happens, it'll happen long after I'm long gone and turn to dust.
I think they'll
before they get a truck smart enough.
I think they'll do automated trains before they do that, because trains are pretty much automated now. They've got somebody in there for the safety switch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know all the subways and stuff in town, they're all automated because they can keep the computer keeps a better schedule and stuff, and they've got a driver there. His job is to hit the brake if he has to. Yeah, and that's about it. Everything else is.
But at least he doesn't have to worry about any shit yellows Nissan checking in.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely one of those what I call holy shit moments. You're thinking, I'm getting ready to take out a carload of stupid teenagers, and you know it's not how I wanted my day to go. And then when you get finally, you know, when it all comes down to under control, and you realize. You know, you're doing that, what I call that Looney Tunes, that, they whoa, what the hell, oh my God, ooh, you know, because you're sitting there thinking, holy shit, that was close. I mean, you couldn't have got a piece of paper between my front bumper, that moose bar, and the back of that Nissan.
Wow.
That's how close it was, and I'm thinking, this sucks, I ain't getting paid enough to do this shit.
Really? Jeez, that's incredible.
Trying to do a screen. Oh, here we go.
What are you doing?
Are you?
Oh, I see a rig with a big.
Whoa!
That's what happens when the deer jumps over the grill guard.
Oh, jeez!
Yep. Right into the windshield.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can jump pretty high.
You see what we have in the front of the rigs? All of our rigs have that.
Yeah.
And it's not. It doesn't prevent damage. Actually, it causes more damage because it spreads the impact out over the entire front of the rig, but it keeps it drivable.
Yeah,
right.
So it'll still push in. It'll distribute the impact across the entire front of the ambulance, taking out both fenders and the hood.
Yeah, rather than just the radiator.
But it doesn't go through the radiator. And there have been numerous times we've come rolling into the Marquette area after an hour and a half drive at Code 3 with no headlights anymore. But you see those big white lights up on the cherry bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are forward lights up there we can turn on.
Yeah.
But that one almost came through and met the EMT sitting in the passenger seat on that one.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. And it looks like the only thing hurt on that truck was the actual windshield.
If you look at the right fender, it is a little crumpled. Okay. But mostly it was the windshield, yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
But I was working that day, and I heard the paramedic, they were coming back from a transfer. The paramedic called in, Station 80 from such and such, such and such. And Station 80 goes, yes. I'd like to report a ambulance versus deer impact. There's a silence, and... And we are assuming that yours the rig that hit the deer? In the perfectly calm voice, the guy goes, yeah, yes, we did. Almost came through the windshield.
Yeah, well, to Barty's point, and I know you guys can appreciate, the traffic patterns are just so friggin' weird here in New England that... there's more times than not, you know, you're cruising down, and I had this happen. I was coming over the hill down Interstate 495. When I was talking to a good old boy from way down south. I don't know. I mean, way down. You know what I'm saying? Just talking all the way down the south.
Yeah.
He said, well, y'all got some weird traffic up in here this way. Like, why don't people always stop for just no reason? I said, oh, those are rubberneckers because there's an accident on the other side of the road. And he said, well... What in the hell's that all about? And I said, that's exactly it. Everybody on this side feels inclined to slow down. Their neck turns into a rubber band where they try and see who got crashed up where.
Yeah.
For no good apparent reason, and then damn near causes an accident on this side of the road, too busy watching the other side.
Right.
Well, what the hell kind of sense is that? And he just crested over the hill on 495 where the traffic was stopped. I'm trying to remember the exit number. Yeah. But he crested going up this hill. He had a good, what do you call it? We call it having a good head of steam.
Uh-huh.
So he had a good head of steam on him so he could come down the hill and make it up without having to shift down, row down too hard.
Yeah.
And so he crested this hill to about 70 miles an hour to discover a parking lot, which used to be four lanes of traffic. And all I remember hearing over the CB, and this is a late night QRM, heard, well, what the hell's all that? Holy shit, what the fuck? Over. And then you hear, and everything's quiet. You know, and you're rolling, and you can hear this because he never took his hand off the key of the mic. So you hear him, and you can hear, literally, I never laughed so hard in my life after I knew he was okay. When you hear him say, you know, what the F? And then, because you always say over when you're done talking, you know, he screams it like you would if you were getting ready to have an accident, and then in his calmest voice as possible, what the F? Over. And, you know, literally, I hear the wheels screech to the halt. And he doesn't realize he's still holding on to the mic, and you can hear it going on the on the steering wheel. He lets off the mic, and then, you know, you call his handle and say, hey, man, you all right? He goes, man, is there some place around here I can go get me a shower? The truck stop. You know, honestly, I actually met up with that guy, and it was just that you're going to find... Here in D.C. are some really weird places to try and to run a commercial truck.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
okay, I get another photo for you as soon as I get it.
D.C., usually the truck drivers will, unless they actually have to do it, they'll, first of all, they'll go around D.C. They'll take 81 or, you know, stay away from the beltway. But if they got to do that, they usually wait until the middle of the night. To go around D.C. or
middle of traffic. I should have told another guy. He's going over the Tobin Bridge.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, another life ago. I was hauling steel down in the big dig site down in Boston, various big dig sites. He goes, man, I can't seem to get over. I'm on this here big green bridge. I said, you're on the Tobin. That's before they had built the Zakim Bridge.
Yeah, and, Bunker Hill Bridge.
I can't. Yeah, and I said, I can't, because you can see, I see Bunker Hill Community College. He said, I can't seem to get, nobody let me over. I said, nobody's going to let you over. I said, what are you driving? He goes, I got me a 48-footer. I said, ain't nobody going to let you in front of them. Well, I see my exit coming up. I said, turn signals on a truck. Tractor trailer, they push forward and pull back.
Yeah.
It's not up and down like in a car.
Right.
I said, push your turn signal, you know, forward. Wait for that sucker, that blinker to flash three times and start pulling the wheel over. Don't look in the mirror. Just start pulling the wheel over and merging to the right. They'll move.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Nobody in Massachusetts knows what the hell a turn signal is.
They do on a tractor trailer because it was creeping. It was real slow traffic. Nobody was moving. It was like bumper to bumper, slow rolling.
Yeah.
I said, do not look. Do not hesitate.
Ignore the horn hawking.
I said, honestly, I said, nobody. I said, you give them the three flash rule when you're a commercial driver. That blinker gets to flash three times and they'll know this is where I'm going. If you're there, I will roll on top of you. And they will get the fuck out of the way.
Yep.
And he's like, you can't. I said, do it. And I said, you have to go in a kamikaze driving mode when you go into town, especially if you're in a commercial truck. Nobody will give you an inch to go where you need to go.
Nobody wants to get stuck behind you.
Nobody wants to get stuck behind a rig or the big box truck. And sure enough, about a half hour later, he comes back. Man, you people drive like nuts down here. You gotta be a little crazy to drive in this town. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. That is true.
Yeah. Real quick, and I think I may have even told this story 100 episodes or so ago. So, but for the new listeners, anyhow, I was walking out to the man cave, as you know, that can be a trek, and I was coming out. I think I was going to turn the heat down, and as a matter of fact, I think it was even before I had the propane yet. So I was coming out we lost party.
Oh.
The curse of the iPad.
Yeah.
I was coming out to check on the wood burner. That was it, and it was there was a bit of a moon that night, so I didn't bring a flashlight with me. And I'm just walking down the driveway, and I'm about halfway down the driveway, and I hear a sound that I'm not accustomed to hearing out this part of the UP.
Mm-hmm.
And I start walking faster because I know what that sound is. It's a semi with a full head of steam on it, and I'm thinking, There is a half mile of road left. This person is obviously lost. And I start running out to the road. All I had was my iPhone. I'm flashing the light of my iPhone at him, and I see a fully lit trailer go, and I'm just like, oh, shit.
He's got nowhere to go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And there's a picture, I think. Come on. Start screen share.
Thank you. Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Oh. Yeah, when I counted down to one, all of a sudden I heard this.
And the picture he's showing is a giant tractor trailer on its side.
Yep.
In the middle of
when
the
we say
turnaround.
Road ends. Yeah. We mean road ends.
I can see that's a circle there, right?
Yeah, it's a cul-de-sac.
It's a cul-de-sac, and he's in the middle of it.
And it ain't big enough. I heard the driver try to turn.
Yeah.
It ain't big enough for a semi. You got to do a 3-point turn.
Not
down there.
One that size. Jeez, look at the size of that truck.
That's called a super. That's a 53-footer.
Yeah. It was loaded, too.
Oh, geez.
It was loaded with newspaper print rolls.
Oh.
Talk about heavy. Not as heavy as a fully loaded fuel truck, but it was heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, those roll about 2,000 pounds a roll.
Yeah. The only thing that was hurt was his pride and his pocketbook, I'm sure. Yeah. But it was a happy ending that nobody got hurt. But yeah, it's about once or twice a year, mm-hmm. I'll be coming down my driveway and I hear that sound of a semi rolling. I'm like, oh, here we go again.
So yeah.
And I get down there and there's a guy standing. This is the next morning. He decided not to have an emergency pickup. So it happened at night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As I was saying, but he's standing out in the middle of the cul-de-sac with his iPhone, tapping on it. And like, it doesn't work out here. Oh, dude, you got to have Sprint or Verizon? Like, no, nothing works out here. When you get in my Jeep, I'll drive you to town. We'll make a call.
Wow. So basically, he had two choices. Try to turn around the cul-de-sac or go through those trees and become a submarine.
Well, there's a mining road.
Okay.
I wouldn't quite call it a two-track, but they probably cost even more to get the truck out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably easy. They just had to... Well, it's not an easy job, but at least there's looks like there's some space there that they could work with. If he had gone into the woods, that would have been a...
I believe that was a $14,000 wrecker job.
Yep.
Wow.
You got to bring in the heavy equipment to be able to lift it. You're talking basically cranes to lift that sucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I deviated from our notes there, but you got the message there, y'all.
I'm trying to figure out how we got from... What were we talking about? We really went down the rabbit hole.
Bear to deer to kangaroo.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Kangaroos.
Okay. Just wondering how we went down that, rabbit hole. What, rat hole? What was it?
then we lost Barty, and then Barty came back.
Yeah.
That's because I was playing with some tools that were sent, and I said, oh, yeah, what does this button do? And I said, oh, okay.
Well, I was blaming it on the iPad.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, wow. Well, I got to tell you, the company 5K run is this Thursday.
And how'd you manage not to make the company this time?
I am too.
Yeah, I still have to edit that in the last show, which isn't out
yet. How many times?
At least three times that I know.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't do a find and replace.
Really, but so today I was supposed to go out and run 22, according to the Couch to 5K program, I was supposed to go out and run nonstop for 22 minutes. And I decided since the 5K is on Thursday, I said, well, I want to see whether I can actually run a 5K or I'm going to be running and walking it. And so instead of, I deviated, I used Runkeeper. And I set it to kilometers, and I just started to go out and run down the road. And I started at the top of the hill. I didn't want to, you know, run up the hill. Barty is using something too. Okay. I'm getting blue things popping, blue boxes popping up on my Outlook.
I didn't know it would do that.
Or Hangout display. Well, same thing happened when Michael was playing too. So anyway, so I started the run and I started going down the road and made it all the way down to the end of the road. And I figured that at about the 2.5 kilometer, I would turn around. And I actually had to go up on Fitzwilliam Road for a bit to make it to 2.5. But I can say that I actually ran the entire 5K without stopping or walking. And, of course, there were a couple hills that I was probably running slower than I walk. But I still kept it up. And it was... let's just put it this way. My legs are burning right now. I'm drinking lots of water right now because, yeah, they're a little sore. And but I know now, at least, because what I ran today is going to be way worse than what I'm going to run on Thursday. Because I had hills here that I had to traverse and stuff. And I know what the route is at work. And there's only one slight hill. And you only have to hit it once, right. So and it's a short hill too. Where these I'm running and going up a hill for like a kilometer or kilometer and 0.2 or so hills here. So yeah, I was happy. I was surprised considering that 5 weeks ago I could barely run 2 minutes without having to stop and walk.
Yeah, so, I'll tell you, I'm pretty impressed, Barry, and I'm pretty proud of you, man. That's great.
Well, thanks. And
I couldn't even get half that distance.
It was, you know, and that's the first time I think I've actually ever run 5 kilometers, because in the Air Force, we didn't have to run that. I mean, what did we have to do, a mile and a half or something?
Yeah, a mile and a half.
And but now, granted, I run a slow mile. You know, I had kilometers on, and I was averaging about 8.4, 8 minutes, 40 second kilometers. It sounds better that way because if it's a mile, it's probably around a 13 or 14 minute mile. But it took me 40 minutes, actually 40 minutes on the nose. I finished the 5K. So for being the first time and thinking I was going to have to stop and walk, I was pretty happy with myself. So, bring on Thursday, you know, we'll see what we can do. And I'm sure it's not going to be my first 5K because I'm kind of getting into this now a bit.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. And again, I don't know whether I said it on the podcast, but one of my goals in doing these 5Ks and getting up to speed and basically getting my legs up to speed is I was embarrassed the last time I hiked Mount Monadnock that I could not climb to the top of it. And I only made it about halfway up, and that was it. So one of the goals of doing this running and building my legs up and my stamina up is I want to go climb Mount Monadnock again. And, you know, because I've lived out here for 17 years, and I've successfully climbed it once and two other times. Well, one time we weren't going to climb all the way up. We were just going up on the trail. The other time I was going to go up to the top and didn't make it. So I was kind of ticked off about that. So that's one of my goals. I want to get back up on top of Mount Monadnock. And
very cool. It sounds like you're well on your way, Barry.
Yeah. So, and it's fun. I mean, I got to... Yeah, it's tough, but you know what? It's one of those things where you just set up little goals. It's like, you know, as I'm running, I go, okay, there's a hill. You know, just have to make it up to the top of the hill, and then it's going to be downhill, and you can take it easy a little bit and catch your breath.
Yeah, and then Michael comes out with an episode of the podcast that shall not be named, where he's running down the road, and he's not even out of breath. He's like, how the hell does he do that?
I know.
You know, after like 20 steps, I'd be...
Well, that's me. That I am in our little running group at work. Well, I told you last week when they warned us about the bear. There was a bear sighting, and they sent out an email to be vigilant when you went out to your car. Boy, I'm using the word vigilant an awful lot this Again, wildlife, be careful because a bear was spotted, and we're all out there running, and some of the guys said, well, you just got to run faster than the slowest guy. And I went, hey, wait a minute.
You know what? He's absolutely right.
Speaking about climbing hills.
What's that?
Or don't you guys see that? So speaking about climbing hills. look at your screen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was just. He's got a picture of when we went up. We just went up to the cell tower on Temple Mountain, which is just basically following up a dirt road, and that's what I looked like. What's that? 2 years ago now, right? Just about. Yeah.
And then we did this. I'm going to bring this up here.
Oh, boy.
That was after we ate the hamburgers. And Michael was ordering a pretty big lunch. I said, you may not want to order that much. Why? I said, we're going to have ice cream afterwards. He goes, well, so? I said, I don't know. The ice creams are pretty big here. Was that a banana split you had?
I think they called it a triple player.
Oh, you got the triple player. Yeah, which is... Yeah.
Barry's familiar with them all.
Yeah, the triple play, which is one of their medium ice creams.
Barry had the double play, I believe.
Yes, I knew better. You got the triple play. And if you look at it, it's just a massive giant balls of ice cream. You can get three different flavors, or you can get as many as you want, really. And they pile it all up, and then they put an equally large size of whipped cream.
How can you not remember whipped cream?
You can have different sauces. I usually put chocolate on one side and butterscotch on the other, and
brown gravy in the
nuts
middle.
And yeah.
Brown gravy. Sounds like he's from Britain, for crying out loud. Sauces.
Yeah, actually, Barry behaved himself. I'll bring this picture up again.
Yeah, Kimball's is there you go. Yeah, that's what I got. Because I also had the giant hamburger.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, look, I got the same shirt on tonight. No.
I didn't know you rode a Harley.
I know. A certain person in this group got me a Harley t-shirt one year, and I probably
were. That person must have good taste.
Yeah. As he pointed out last week when he was up here, I think I was wearing it then. He goes, you know, that's a collector's item now. That place doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. They are closed.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because now I'm going way the hell out of my way for parts.
Yeah, that's true.
What? Which Harley dealer is that's closed?
Nashua. Yeah. Nashua Harley-Davidson.
Is that the one that used to be on the Amherst Street?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Amherst Street at...
Calorico's?
Yep.
Yeah, at the corner of Continental.
Now it's a car dealership.
Yeah.
Well, it was a car dealership before it was a Harley dealer.
Oh, now it's back to being a car dealership.
I wonder if they still have the picture of Steve Tyler on the wall. They had a big mural. It was nice.
No, that was on the side of a trailer for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, and, that was out there.
That was on the side of the trailer for the longest time for Steve, because he had his own custom motorcycle works. And that's gone, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that, because I passed that every day going into work.
So. Yeah, getting back to ice cream, when my wife and I lived down on Fox Street in Nashua, just off of Broad Street, you know, where the Broad Street Expressway is supposed to go somewhere, you know, how they planned it like 10 years ago and it still hasn't broken ground yet. Anyway, we used to go for like long walks in the surrounding neighborhoods, and we always seemed to end up coming past a Dairy Queen that was a block and a half from our house.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how that worked.
I've never seen a region of the country that is so into ice cream like New England is. Because, you know, I've lived in other places, and, you know, you have the occasional ice cream shop or whatever. But up here, especially in the summertime, there are ice cream places all over the place. They're almost as abundant as Dunkin' Donuts.
Almost.
No, nothing is as abundant as Dunkin' Donuts.
But it's incredible for a cold weather place. You would think ice cream would not be one of the things that would be big, but so tonight one of the guys I work with, he's actually an SI for our project, and he posted a nice thing on Facebook. It was a ingredients to a nice mix or drink called the Hawaiian iced tea, and I gotta tell you that that's good. I had one tonight for dinner, and I could not have a second one because it was up on par with a tropical itch, if you know what I mean. So and I
was like crabs.
I will try to, let me see, there we go. I have the ingredients here. I will, oh, come on. I had it right up here. There we go. All right, there we go. That's nice.
And listeners may note that he is thumbing his iPhone.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Oh, now he's throwing in an extra finger.
It's oh,
see. And it's not at me.
See more, okay. There we go. Here are the ingredients. It was, and of course, now naturally, it's me. I'm big, so I took these ingredients and doubled each one. Okay.
Especially the alcohol.
So it was half ounce. The ingredients go half ounce of vodka.
Oh, I love the way this starts.
Half ounce of half ounce of light rum. Half ounce.
It's getting better.
Half ounce of tequila.
Yeah, you lost me there.
Half ounce of gin.
Half
ounce of triple sec, half ounce of a whiskey sour mix, and or one double one mix? Ounce of a whiskey sour mix, and just the mix, and then 1 ounce of pineapple juice, and so that is the ingredients to a Hawaiian iced tea, and of course, like I said, I doubled it all and mixed it up because that filled my sippy cup, and And you can't taste the alcohol. It's almost pure alcohol, but you can't taste it.
Coma in a cup.
But
exactly. Josh has nailed it.
Yeah. So, yes, it was very good. And
well, that's like a really good Manhattan iced tea or a Long Island iced tea. You can't taste the booze, but it's mostly all booze. You know, for a good Long Island iced tea, it tastes just like, you know, sweet tea, but it's basically five or six types of liquor.
Yeah, I put a comment on it afterwards, and of course, what I did was randomly use capital letters with small letters to spell all the words, you know. Yeah. And I went, Doug, I'll try to read it the way I was trying to represent. I tried to. No, three of these, and they taste nothing like iced tea. I need to go fall off a beach now. Which is an inside joke when we were drinking, when we were over in Hawaii and we were drinking tropical itches, which just reminded me greatly that one of the guys didn't know there was as much alcohol in a tropical itch as there was, and he drank three of them, and then he and his wife walked along the beach, and he must have hit a pothole in the beach or something, but he fell into the water. I don't know what it was, but he fell. So from then on, I said, okay, you give you three tropical itches and you fall off the beach.
Sounds like an episode of Tiki Bar.
Yeah. But I gotta I highly recommend this. It's a nice, cool summer drink that you can't taste the alcohol in it.
Yeah, and a couple of those, you'd be taking a nap for the rest of the afternoon.
And I added up the calories because I'm using the Lose It program again. And let me see if I can figure out. Well, let's put it this way. Dressing, okay, 103, 65, 65, 65, 65, 54, 35. Add all those up, and that's the caloric intake of...
You know what speed...
of this,
you know,
one drink.
You know what speed 3/5 of a mile in 10 seconds equates to?
What?
Okay, so there's no airplane fans here. Let's just move on.
Okay. So, anyway. So that was my... Yes, the Hawaiian iced tea. I highly recommend it. I know I'll be having more of those. So,
And then a nap.
Yeah. I literally
a coma.
And that happened.
I left your coma in a cup.
I had one of those about an hour after I completed the 5K dry run. So yes, it helped.
There you go.
That was another reason why I wasn't thinking there was going to be a show tonight.
And tripling the ingredients of this becomes a pangalactic gargoyle blast.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was almost, exactly. I was almost as bad as Joel with his sippy cup full of kamikazes.
Hey, I made it to the end of the show.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
If you want to call it that. So anyway, on I guess you want to call the lighter side. My credit union has been telling us for a month now that they're going to switch the bills paying service. And starting this week, we got an email and they said, okay, starting on the 13th, we'll be setting up the new bill paying service. Now, it's a bank, right? And you think, okay, a bill paying service. So they're going to spend the night switching over to the new bill paying service. No, the email went on and said, so bill paying service will not be available from the 13th to the 17th. And I'm like, really? You need 4 freaking days to put a new bill paying service in? I said, I got bills to pay. What am I supposed to do? I mean, you know, I use your service. You're going to make me go out and buy stamps? And trust the U.S. Post Office to deliver these on time?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, so I'm out of bill. Some of my local stuff I can't pay because my bill paying service is down.
So that's what you tell all of your different accounts. You say, I'm sorry, I'd like to pay the bill. I have the money to pay the bill, but the bank said I can't pay it.
And they'll say, no problem. We don't have any problem with that at all. And here's that $35 late fee.
Late fee.
To each one of those. So, anyway, so that was my my fun with the credit union again. Well, and I'm kind of glad they're switching bill paying services because the last one screwed up my mortgage one month. Actually, 2 months. And... one time I made it in time. The next time I got a late fee because I set it up. It was, as a matter of fact, I set it up so that it went out monthly, you know, on schedule. And yeah, and it was all set up and it was ready to go. And then I got a notification from the bank that has my mortgage and said, you didn't pay us. And I went and looked and yeah, sure enough, it was scheduled to be paid and it didn't make it from scheduled to be paid to... to the, you know, completed payment. It just disappeared.
I'd find a new credit union.
So, well, I'll give their bill paying, the new bill paying thing, because you know what I found out? I still have my bill, I still have my credit union down in Maryland open, and it's a different credit union, but they use the same service. Matter of fact, if you've ever heard of the company called Quicken, They're the bill paying service, and they're moving away from them. So I think this is probably a move in the right direction. They've obviously had issues with them in the past, and they're correcting those problems, hopefully.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get a late fee on the mortgage. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And even though as soon as the bank notified me, I was up there the next day. Here's the check. Sorry.
Right.
You know, it wasn't my fault. But And by the way,
mortgage, the bank, I can't show up on their desk the next day because it's in Texas.
Yeah. That makes it difficult. But they, you know, and the thing that got me was, you know, they notified me that it was late, and I went the next day and you know, gave them the check, and everything was cleared. But they sent me four or more notices after that in the mail that my mortgage payment was late. And even suggested that I get some financial counseling, because out of all these years that I've been paying a mortgage, I missed one.
You know? Well, Barry, this is all automation. It doesn't look into the past. It just looks that you're late right now.
I guess so. I mean, it was bad enough that I had to pay frickin' $97 late fee. And holy yes, cow. I don't want to do that. So, you know, it wasn't even my fault, but can't tell the credit union that. So, because they pointed Quicken, and Quicken points back to the credit union, and the credit union points at Quicken.
I suppose that you need a better credit union.
So, I think they need to get rid of Quicken, is what they need to do. So, we'll see what happens. I like the credit union for everything else. It was just this bill pay issue that I've had with them. And
but if they don't pay your bills, they're just not doing you right. True. Especially that's if you're true. Paying extra fees because of their fault.
Yeah.
If they screwed up, you should be having them pay your extra fees.
Yeah. Well, then I'd have to go through that whole battle. Whose fault was it really? You know, the credit union or Quicken? And they point fingers back and forth at each other. And it's like, yeah, I don't have time to sit here all day on the phone arguing with you guys. And they know that, too. So I think a lot of services know that. It's like, I can't. I have to work myself, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of times you tell them that I can't afford this and you're costing me too much money, so I'm leaving. All of a sudden, they can afford to help you out.
Yeah. I tried to do that with their bank before we joined this credit union, and they didn't seem to care too much whether they kept us or not. So,
wow. Yeah. I would definitely not stay then.
So, well, I didn't.
You're nothing but a commodity. Yeah. I mean, get out of Dodge.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that was my story with the credit union or bill paying service that they use. And it's
or
changing.
Bill not paying service.
Yeah, bill not paying service. And hopefully they're getting an actual bill paying service that they're installing. And I'll see how that goes. So anyway, that's it. Ingress update. Let's see. What has gone on? They got a new version of the scanner that came out a couple weeks ago. And, man, it doesn't let you do a lot of things. It really wants you walking now. Because I used to be able to go down the road and hit recharge and recharge portals as I was driving down the road. If you get over 40 miles an hour, it won't let you recharge anymore. And which is probably a good thing, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. It's not like I have to look down at the thing. The button's in the same place. I line it up once, and then the lady goes, recharge, boom. You hit it again. Recharge, boom. Recharge, boom. Recharge, boom. Recharge.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah?
Barry, in New York State, that's called distracted driving, and that will get you a big, pricey ticket.
Yeah, well.
Just like talking on your cell phone, Will.
That's why.
The only way out of that is if you can make a good excuse that you're using it for GPS purposes because you're a commercial person trying to get his job done. That's the only way out of it.
Well, the good
otherwise,
thing...
this is what... I'm going to go on a little rant here because this pisses me off, okay? Not that I think people should be texting or anything like that while driving because obviously that's a stupid thing to do. But, you know... In New York, they're nailing people for having an electronic device in their hand, no matter what they're doing with it. They're all using the anti-texting law to bust people for it.
Yeah.
But people here are driving around eating, using both hands to eat a sandwich. They're reading newspapers. They're looking at maps. Yeah. And they're smoking cigarettes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't they equally distracted by all this other crap?
Yeah.
How about you just bust anybody that doesn't have two hands on the wheel staring straight ahead like, oh no, a cop's going to bust me for something if I make one wrong move?
Yeah.
You know, you fart wrong in public in this state, and you get busted for it.
It's even, I don't know whether New York's doing this, and I'm trying to remember what states there are, but there's a couple of states that, you know, used to be amateur radio guys got away with it, you know, using the microphone and stuff like that. It was a no-brainer, you know, exception to the rule, just like the cops have an exception to the rule to use their microphones while they're on the road. And but some of the states now, even if you've got amateur radio license, and you if they catch you using your rig in the car while you're moving, they can pull you over and give you a ticket. Which is, you know, it's like, then I want to turn around and give them a ticket too, because weren't you paying attention to like your radar system and that little laptop in your car, and you're the microphone and the radio you've got in your car, and all that other stuff that's surrounding your driving space. You know,
there's a difference in that. They are a trained professional driver. You are not.
Ah, really?
And they have the DA on their side.
I hate to tell you.
No, I'm just going to sit here and tell you the way it is, because I've taken both the police driver's training course.
Yeah.
And it's a commercial driver, and there are different tactics used. Most drivers are distracted, as opposed to the drivers who are professionally trained on what you're watching for.
I know they're trained, but you know, something in your hand that you got to look down to. Your eyes are off the roadway. No matter who it is. So, you know, they get away with it because it's part of their job.
Good luck.
I'm saying they get away with it. They get exempt because it's part of their job. They have to. And for years, we had no problems with it. The only thing is, it's really stupid to text when you're driving, because that really takes a lot of concentration to do texting. Yeah,
just like recharging portals that you're driving by.
That's nothing to that. I don't even look down at the thing. I'm holding my hand. I just hit my button's hitting it because the nice lady tells me that it's recharged, and I can hit the button again, and I can hit the button again. You know, there's nothing to it. And the only thing I'm looking at when I glance down at that is a map, just like any other GPS map. So,
well, like sometimes the streets disappear.
Yeah, mine don't.
Well, I have spotty cell service.
Yeah, well,
so a lot of times the GPS will show me where I am, but it won't show me where the street is.
Right, yeah, you have that problem with probably Google Maps and everything else, too. You know?
Actually, Google tends to do a bit better job.
Well, they try to kind of figure out where you're going, and so they'll preload the maps ahead of time. And when they first started off, it was bad, because I couldn't even get through Jaffrey and have the map show up. Google Maps first came out. That's why, you know, I still have one that all the maps were on the phone. I had an app that had like 2 gigs of maps on the phone, so it would work when you weren't in good cell service. But since that's all gotten better now, and the programs have gotten better, you don't need to do that anymore. So at least in this part of the country, I don't know. Maybe out in, you know, Arizona and Colorado, or, you know, some of them big ass places.
For my part of the ingress update, I have gotten up to level 3, and I'm a little bit more than halfway to level 4 now.
All right, good. I mean, considering that you probably passed like 2 portals on the way to work. And they're not in phone service.
I have to go about almost 30 miles before I can get to a portal that's that has cell service around it.
Yeah.
And then once I get into the city of Rome, there is, I guess, like 6 portals I can hit, and they're all the Enlightened. So, you know, I just go through, and it's easy to hit the hack button as you go by.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really a button, it's just a little screen location. So yeah. It takes a quick glance to see where that is, and you know.
You sit over there, and you know, and they even tell you, you know, when you're there, the nice lady comes on and says, hacking available, or whatever she says. Yeah,
possible
hacking possible, and you hit the button. It tells you everything that you're getting, and then you just have to glance down to see where the next portal is. If it's not, you know, several miles away, you don't even have to set it up.
Yeah,
you need to just be able to go, okay, Google, hack.
Yeah,
yeah, really.
Oh, speaking of that, and we I don't think we mentioned this last week when we were going over the new Apple stuff, but did you see what's going to be new for iOS 8?
Hey, Siri!
Yeah, hey, Siri! You're going to be able to go, hey, Siri, and then ask your question or give her a command.
And, you know, that reminds me of that song that was out a whole bunch of years ago that was based upon the Three Stooges. It was a comedy thing, and it was one of the main lines was, hey, Mo! Hey, Mo! Anybody remember that song?
Yes.
That's all.
Curly Shuffle.
When I, yeah,
yes.
When I saw that, hey Siri, all I could think of was, hey Mo, hey Mo. And I wonder if you could reprogram it to respond to hey Mo.
Who knows?
It's the iPhone Shuffle. Yeah, I guess.
Somebody did do a song. I gotta go look it up on Google. Well, maybe we can play it sometime if I find it here. They made a song out of all the. The iOS sounds that are made, the standard sounds, ringtones, and different things, and it was actually pretty good. It sounded good. It was a neat little song. So, anyway, anything else on the Ingress that we need to talk about? Nothing new, nothing exciting.
Well, Mike was the only other one playing it. Have you hit any portals, Mike?
Oh, I was discussing before the show that I think I figured out that my nemesis either listens or knows that I podcast on Saturday nights, because I've just been getting hammered with emails saying that all my portals are getting attacked while we're on the show. But that's okay. I have ways of dealing with that. And I'm closing in on level 8. I got 125, well, actually less than 120,000 points to go for level 8. Woo-hoo, which is a lot easier to do as you level up. Barty, even with a few portals, it gets easier.
Yeah,
when you have more tools to work with.
Really? Because I can't do much of anything.
No, when you hit level five is the big one.
Hack things.
Level five is the big one. What you got to do is go after the gray, the gray portals that aren't claimed, unclaimed portals.
Oh, you're assuming there are some.
Yeah, and try to build small fields. Unfortunately, you're in an enlightened held area. If you were somewhere where the resistance was
there's
big.
There's a lot of resistance, but it's all these areas are like, you know, separated by wide open areas of mostly nothing.
Yeah, because you hack and collect keys, and then you try to make small fields, as many fields as you can, because
Now, how do you make a field?
You got to have keys, and you got to you hook up. If you have keys to different portals, then you can go to one portal. If you got a key to another portal, you can create a whatchamacallit, a line.
Triangle.
Well, you create a bearing.
I did manage to connect a couple portals together because they were like next to each other.
Yeah, links. That's what they're called. You link them.
So, you know, I went through and I added resonators to these two different portals that somebody else had created.
Yep.
And then I went and I was able to create a link between the two of them.
Yeah, I'll get you some points.
I wasn't able to do anything else.
You need to have three, and you basically are making a triangle. And when you do it, your links cannot cross any other kind of link. So, you know, you've got to have a clear shot between the portals.
So you can't cross the streams.
You can't cross the streams. Nope, it won't let you cross the streams.
So what causes a field?
You make a triangle. If you have three portals and you connect them up and they create an enclosed area, an enclosed triangle, it will turn into a field. And that's worth 1,250 points, I believe, per field.
And what does the field do?
The field gives you points. That's
all. So what do you
and it adds more points depending on how M user in the field.
Is there any way you can get to a point where you're able to create a portal somewhere?
You can submit portal suggestions, but they're running about 3 to 4 months for approval. They have to be approved by Niantic, and it's taken 3 to 4 months for them to approve them. And there's certain rules that because you got to give them a picture, and there can't be people in it. You can't have license plates in it. So you got to be careful how you take the picture, and And then you get 1,000 AP points if they accept it. But it's like I said, I submitted a bunch of them back in March, and I haven't heard back on any of them yet. They should be.
I submitted some pictures of some portals that didn't have any.
Yeah, that happens pretty quick.
That was about 6 of them.
Yeah.
And I heard back right away in almost all of them.
Yeah,
two of them were accepted and 4 were rejected. And I didn't know anything about the license plate rules, but most of them, it was like in front of a small library, and the picture they had was like of a bush. So I took a picture of the actual library, and he even said the name of the library that the portal was named after, and they rejected it. And I was like, well, okay, screw you.
Well, take a look at it, because... they may have either you had a license plate in it, or there might have been people in the picture. Because
I think there were people, because, you know, this is a town where I'm not sure how many literate people okay. there are.
Just look at your picture and see. And there's rules. There's rules for when you submit portals. You just got to follow the rules. I've gotten several pictures okayed, and you get like 500 AP points for submitting
pictures. I've gotten a couple okayed.
I got one portal. They put the portal in. But they had the location like down in the middle of a woods somewhere, and the actual location. So I put in a correction, and that got approved last week. And I made like 300 AP for getting that approved.
There was one gray portal I took over and activated that was supposedly in front of a post office that didn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It had already been closed down for 5 years. Get this. This is funny. My wife has gotten into this because she loves driving around trying to find portals.
Yeah.
She says that it's kind of like a scavenger hunt for her. Yeah. We practically had to drive into the middle of a field to be able to get close enough to be able to hit this one portal.
Yeah.
It was like in this little tiny town. It was like, so we were able to take over the portal and stuff like that, but there's nothing to take a picture of. You know?
What was it supposed to be?
There's nothing there. It's been closed for 5 years.
Oh, that was the post office?
Fell down. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, what can I do? But I didn't know you had to keep going back. That was before I learned you had to recharge them and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now it's gone. But, you know, it just kind of like cracked me up. Now, here we are driving around in this tall grass in the Jeep trying to get close enough that we could nail this thing.
So it was
funny as hell.
The secret about recharging is each day your resonators lose a little power, and it will be completely gone in a week unless you recharge them. And,
yeah, but most of these places I don't get to in a week.
But if you have a key, to the thing, like if you hack it afterwards and you get a key to it, then you can do remote charging of it.
What level you need to be to do that?
I think any level.
Any level.
Yeah.
You can do it from home.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you have a key.
I got keys to all of them.
Then you can do remote charging.
I got keys to all kinds of enlightened portals too. Can I do anything with that stuff?
Not until you turn them blue, and at level 3 you're probably not going to have much luck at that.
Yeah.
You start really being able to attack portals when you hit level 5. Level 5 up is when you can really start doing some damage on them. Otherwise, you know, with the 1-2s. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth, now that I'm a level 8, when I get level 1 through 3 XMPs, I just recycle them. I don't even bother, you know, because they're just, I've got a, at level 8 has a 2,000 item limit to their inventory, and those things just take up space, so I just, you know, I just get rid of them. And as you go up in levels, you'll find out it's much easier. So that's why it's easier. Once you hit like level 5, 6 comes real fast, 7 comes fast, 8 takes a while because you're also doubling your AP points that you need.
Well, yeah, but it's more and more points every time, right?
Yeah, it pretty much doubles it every time you try to go up.
1 and 2 came pretty quick.
Yeah.
3 was a bit of a stretch, but...
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I have to go a ways to find things.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's helped me a lot is, like, Tony's really getting into this. She likes chasing these things down, you know, so it's like, to her, it's a scavenger hunt.
I'm telling you.
To get close enough. And some of these things, it's like one of them is at a local police station,
uh-huh.
And you don't just simply drive park in front of the police station, you have to go into the police parking lot where they park their vehicles. You have to go in there to be able to access it.
That's probably not a good portal.
We've been hitting it. I think we've hit it like 3 times now.
Funny.
That's an enlightened portal.
Yeah.
Tony gets a kick out of it because she's waiting for a cop to come out, and that's what we're doing. Because I was telling her about the time that you were pulled over and asked some questions by a cop, and she's just waiting if we can just. Well, she said she's like, well, just show her your tablet and say this is what we're doing. Yeah. This is they're going to understand completely what this is.
Hey, as long as you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, you say it's a game. It's a GPS-based game. There's these portals. You have to get them.
We're just driving around playing an internet game. Did you know you had an enlightened portal over here?
Probably be curious to find out what
the hell that is. Yeah, this is like a small town, you know. Yeah. I mean, this department has like 2 cars.
Well, the other couple that play in Jaffrey, that live in Jaffrey, they actually made these, I don't know whether they were online or whatever, but they printed out stuff, these little notes that basically explain the game, everything, and if they get, because they like to play it. He works second shift, so they'll go out after second shift and they'll be playing till 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I wouldn't have the guts to be driving around and pulling up in front of libraries and, you know, in the post office and stuff at 3 o'clock in the morning. But they have these things, and if they've been stopped a couple times by the police, and they hand them these things, and the guy says, okay, well, as long as you're not doing anything wrong. And he said, no, you know, and they said, here, put one up on the bulletin board so the other police will know what people are doing, because it's getting to be a very popular game, and more people are playing this game. You know.
Well, we gotta change topic considering that Joel's falling asleep and snacking.
He's still waiting. You know, there was a rumor that it was gonna be out for iOS today, but I haven't seen any news. I still think they're gonna wait until iOS 8 comes out, probably.
I would like to see it on an iPad. I tell you, I could use a bigger screen. Yeah.
But I'm waiting.
Man. Huh?
I know when you play iOS, I've noticed that the couples that play, they can wipe up. They go in and they can clean up an entire town. With two people, you can do that, and you can collect stuff, and you can just make it through the town. So, you know, and I know Joel would probably find this game interesting. Debbie would definitely find the game interesting. And, those two could be, and by the way, Nashua is always in conflict. There's a good organization down for the resistance down in Nashua, and they've got Enlightened coming up all the time and attacking. I mean, it's those guys. It's that's like a constant battleground down there. So it would be fun for you guys, I know.
It'd be interesting if it ever
happens.
Let's
go on to a more interesting topic. Let's find out about Joel's trip through the Red Hook Brewery. Brewery tours have got to be fun topics. I saw some of the pictures that you were posting, and I tell you what, I wish I was there with you. Somebody would have their wedding in a brewery, though.
You know what? It is gorgeous. The grounds there, I've been to country clubs that didn't have grounds quite as pretty as that.
I was going to say, I know the Anheuser-Busch ones that are across the street from a company that shall not be named, that has been several times in these podcasts. They have beautiful grounds, too.
The brewery is phenomenal. It's actually, it's a copy of the building is a copy of the design of the other Red Hook Brewery out in Washington State, which is designed just to stand up against a class 5 earthquake.
Really?
It's earthquake proof to a grade 5? I'm not sure what that means.
We get those all the time in New Hampshire.
So yeah, it's just...
Well, what it was, they just copied it. They made a ditto image, a carbon copy of their building out in Washington, which is it's an awesome building. It's got a fantastic restaurant down on the first floor, with just awesome ambience. You know, the ambience was just there. The staff were incredible. I mean, you couldn't find somebody who was either A, having a bad day, or B, in a bad mood. Everybody was just so darn polite. Wow. And real and down to earth. It was awesome. So we went to the Red Hook Brewery. We did the tour
which showed you the different wort vats and the different, actually all the vats that were used, plus the light table, explaining the process of making beer, what goes into it. I mean, it's a 45-minute, 50-minute tour. So it's enough to give one an idea, you know, of what kind of goes into brewing different beer versus, you know, an ale versus a lager. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts, I mean, it was aside from how nice the building was and how well it was laid out, was the tasting. I enjoyed that immensely. where in the tour room, they have an actual bar set up, and on tap is four different types of beer that were up there, an IPA, what else was up there? What do they call it? Middle of the road, like what they call a crossover lager. Yeah. Which is for those who drink, say, something along the lines of a light beer, whether it be Bud Light, Coors Light, what have you. Uh-huh. But want something, you know, light like that, but for folks who drink micro beers, beers from micro breweries that have a little bit more, you know, that the more of a hoppy taste, they have a crossover beer. That was another one that was there that we tried. Uh-huh. What else was there? I had two other Hefeweizens, which are just friggin' phenomenal.
Hefeweizens,
a porter.
Yeah, I see you had a IPA.
Yeah. Yes, it's a Kona, K-O-N-A.
That's
IPA, and my
that's
god,
kind of Hawaiian, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say
it was. It's a Hawaiian brewery that Red Hook bought.
Yeah, Kona Brewery.
Exactly, and they brought their recipe, if you will, to the mainland. And so in turn opened up the whole mainland as a market for them to sell Kona IPA. Now the beer that's made here in the States is, you know, well, that you can buy here on the continental United States is brewed here. It's not brewed in Hawaii, but the stuff you buy in Hawaii is brewed in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But that was a really nice citrusy high notes. Mm-hmm. God, I thought I even picked up a hint of pineapple in it. It was nice.
Probably. I've had a Kona IPA. Yeah, but yeah, before, you know, you would never find that here. You know, no. you had to be over there to have it. And it, you know, so that's good. I'm going to be looking for that now.
It's a really nice light. I mean, it's a perfect kind of beer to drink during summer. You know, if you're out sitting on the lawn, you know, in lawn furniture, or on lawn furniture, whether you're in it or on it, I don't really care. But
on the lawn,
you know,
for that matter,
exactly, or just straight on the lawn. If you drink enough of these things, you'll be sleeping on the lawn, and it'll be a wonderful summer nap. You know, it will.
You got my vote, Joe. As long as you're in the shade, I'm good to go.
Exactly. You put me in a hammock and about, you know, a rack of these bad boys, I'm having myself a powerful nap.
Talk about the awesome power nap.
They have a whole restaurant downstairs in the brewery. So, I mean, it's what I call pub food. You know, they had a bratwurst dinner with homemade sauerkraut. That's what I opted for. And which was really good. It's a beer. It's a bratwurst that was cooked in beer. And then the sauerkraut, homemade, what do you call it, purple cabbage sauerkraut with a honey mustard that's mixed with one of the beers that they make there.
Really?
So it's a honey mustard beer kind of. Spicy! Oh my god, dude, it was friggin' delicious. I have to say, I was really, really, really pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I mean, I expected it to be good, but not that good. Yeah. And it was good. It was really high quality. I mean, I definitely would. I'd drive back there just for that.
Wait, but okay, let me get this straight before you continue. Are you saying that you like the Red Hook Brewery better than the QRM Brewery?
Oh. I have to say, nothing is better than the QRM Brewery.
Oh, good.
It was good.
Because, you know, but there's nothing like sitting in a garage with a pot boiling.
Exactly. So it was funny. I actually talked to one of the fellows there. I believe he's one of the executive folks there. And, you know, down to earth, easy to talk to guy, blue jeans and a T-shirt.
Yeah.
He was working on his laptop down in the corner of the restaurant. And one of the things is I said, oh, yes, and my best friend and I, you know, we brew beer in his garage. You know, and he's like, really? I said, yeah, man. I said, there's nothing like, he goes, five or tens? I said, 10. I said, we do the 5 gallon, and then they say he's got 10 gallon, and then you got basically, you know, but there's nothing better than dog drool brew. And he looked at me and he went, What? I said, dog drool brew. I said, that's it's got a touch of Sammy. And he went, come again? I said, well, he's got a big Alaskan Malamute. And as we had the pot sitting on that turkey burner for doing deep frying turkeys, and this is bubbling beer or wort, basically, and then we're adding the ingredients at the right time, sitting here smoking some real good cigars and just kind of watching life go by and checking the thermostat on the pot, Sammy decided he wanted to get a good old whiff of this stuff that was cooking on the burner. And, of course, when he smelled it, he went, ooh, that's good, and drooled in it. And he said, you know what, we're drinking it anyway. And the guy's like, well, anything that's in here is going to boil out. I said, we know that. I said, but that's what gave it its name. Sammy gave it its dog drool brew, and it is good stuff. And you got a double distilling system that I said my buddy Barry put in. I says, he goes, oh, really? He said, he's thinking, you know, giant copper vats. I said, no, it's 2 5-gallon buckets. One into the next. I said, 2 weeks in one, then another week in the other, and then you got a bottle. And I said, you know, I said, what better way to bottle beer than drinking the first batch while you're bottling the second? I said, not for nothing. And you guys laughing his ass off. I said, real honest to God, I said, you know, you start off with a ton of vim and vigor, and you're probably pushing out a bottle every two, three, four, five seconds. You can fill them and boom, and fill them and boom. I said, after about your sixth or seventh beer, you're good for about a bottle every 5 minutes. I said, so it's not quite as high-tech as the process of the video I shot at your bottling facility. You guys are probably a lot more productive because you're not drinking the product while you're trying to bottle it.
You know, I will sue them if they come out with a brew called Dog Drool Brew.
That was good.
You have to patent it first.
And so this guy was laughing. I said, yeah, and, you know, telling him about, you know, the different notes and how beer is finally, you know, it's nice to know that it's finally getting the recognition that it deserves, that it's being looked at and by many groups like wine clubs. Mm-hmm. There's a right beer or a right lager or a correct ale for certain types of foods. That complement certain types of foods, that, you know, the finish, the four flavor, the body of it, the how it finishes in the mouth, the smell. I said, you know, it's just as much of a science as wine, where the grapes come from. And he actually commented, and he said there's a lot to it.
Yeah,
where the malt, the barley, where these are grown at and what part of the world does affect the flavor of the beer.
And even like a large brewery like that, to keep the consistency of the taste. Because, you know, you can brew beer here, and you can get the same ingredients and brew here two batches, and the two won't taste exactly the same.
Right.
The fact that they've got the science down, that they, you know, you pop open a Red Hook, like, you know, the Red Hook Kona IPA, every one of those is going to taste the same.
And the part of the tour, you know, they go into that, which is as much as you want. You say, okay, it's right down the, you got to filter all the water. First, you get mountain fresh water, spring water, and then you filter the spring water. Uh-huh. So then you check, and then they have a separate, they showed us a lab where they'll analyze the pH of the water and make sure that it's the right balance as it was from a sample from a year ago. Huh. And now you know the water's right.
It's funny you say this because, you know, when the Merrimack plant opened up, I was just a teenage kid in high school, and our big joke was that since they were sucking water out of the Merrimack, that the faster we could drink Budweiser and pee it out and get it into the Merrimack, the faster they could make more.
Well, you know, it was probably right after that they put that brewery in that the Merrimack got cleaned up. They had a lot to do with cleaning up the Merrimack.
Well, that was the Budweiser plant. This is in the Red Hooks in Portsmouth.
Yeah. Well,
that was a Budweiser plant, yeah.
But still, breweries need clean water, whether they filter it themselves, but, you know...
Well, the Merrimack was never really that bad. You know, it wasn't like the Cuyahoga that used to be able to be set on fire on a regular basis.
That's where I want to go fishing.
Yeah, you can catch your fish and cook it too.
No kidding, you take your cigar out and you throw it in the river when it's all done down to a stud. You let the whole river on fire. But so no, it was an awesome experience. To finish it off as a kind of a reward to myself for being there and taking a wonderful tour in a brewery, I got the Jumbo Soft Pretzel with the homemade spicy beer spicy mustard as a dessert. And yeah, we're talking. I mean, it's the first time in my life being an original Pennsylvania boy.
Yep.
And actually coming from the streets of Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Soft pretzels are as common as a day is long.
Yep.
It's the first time in my 43 years I've ever eaten a soft pretzel with a fork and knife.
Wow.
That's how good this mustard was.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, man, my mouth's watering just for the soft pretzel.
On that note, just so you know, they have coming up, here next month, they have basically it's a Red Hook Palooza band tour going on their grounds.
Really?
And also in October they've been doing it for multiple years.
Yeah.
It's like live bands playing on stages, food vendors, beer tents, the whole nine yards. Hmm. Then they got what they call Porta Potty City all the way down at the other end of the grounds. But the one that I'm, and that sounds pretty cool, but the one I'm super interested in that I believe we must make it out a late night QRM field trip to, mm-hmm, is they have a food truck palooza tour.
Really?
In October. Where they have like literally 20, 30 different types of food trucks. And I mean, this is different type of ethnic foods from all over. All show up and camp out on their grounds in October. And I'm going to go from truck to truck.
That sounds like a plan. That definitely sounds like a plan. That sounds good.
Sampling it, because I love eating off a good food truck. Yeah. Good food off a food truck, I'm all about, man.
Well, yeah,
I'm
the good
food. It could be a bit of a long hike for poor Michael, though.
He'll make it.
Michael, you want a sausage sandwich in October?
Sure.
We need an EMT, I tell you. If we're going to be going to that many trucks, we're going to have some serious health issues.
Between that and I need my cardiologist there. But that's beside the point.
No, that sounds good. I mean, there's a movie out. I think is it called Chef or whatever? It's about these gourmet food trucks that are the big hit now. So, yeah, food trucks aren't what they used to be. I mean, they're, you know.
Well, I used to eat off of them from what they used to be, and it was good home cooking. It was just simple.
It's like going to a diner. I remember they were, like, getting diners.
I'd go to diners. Well, I mean, being an avid motorcyclist, I don't like going to bars. I don't really go to bars. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. What I like to do, and a lot of guys who go on these long rides or groups that go for rides, are like, oh, we'll go from this bar to that bar, have a beer, go to this bar, have a beer, go to that. Yeah, but the thing is I'm riding a motorcycle. I don't want to have alcohol in my system while I'm riding. I want to stay sharp.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But what I will do is ride from diner to diner and get a cup of coffee at each one.
Yeah.
You know, and I love just to take in the atmosphere of the diners that I go to. So we'll set out and go to a
little mom and pop. Food, man.
Yeah, you go to little mom and pop diners, and you're like, oh yeah, you know, you on an early morning ride, and you go to some little mom and pop diner in the middle of, you know, Podunk, USA. Pull up on your bike, and you're like, man, I could really, you know, I'm due for breakfast. It's 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. We've been riding for 2 hours, and you know, they sit there and here, honey, have the home plate special.
Yeah,
and they put a ham steak down, three eggs, bacon, sausage, toast, orange juice, coffee, and you're like, all this for $4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, if you go at a non breakfast time, most diners have one of my favorite meals. I gotta say, is country fried steak.
Oh, me too.
I love country fried steak.
And the gravy.
Joel, Joel, you gotta get yourself a hog with a sidecar big enough to hold bear.
Oh, that would be funny.
Well, you know what? That's one maybe avenue, but not for nothing. But Barry, you ain't riding bitch on the back of my Harley.
No, I'm not.
No, well, no. You know, I mean, the other alternative is if you can't get a sidecar big enough, you're going to have to get something that you can pull behind it.
Well, I was thinking, you know what? Not for nothing. I mean, with me being on my bike, it's the same as pretty much two grown men sitting on it already. So it yeah. wouldn't take very yeah.
A sidecar. If you got a sidecar, that would be cool, because then I'd get one of those World War One a pilot hats on with the goggles. And
you
know
what? You want to hear the funny thing? I just bought it's a German-style World War II helmet with the goggles.
Really?
I could just see you guys going down the road. Barry would have a monocle in one hand and a spear in the other, looking around with his old helmet on.
On the sidewalk. If this was only a video podcast.
Yeah, or Barry could get his motorcycle license.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
It's motorcycle riders.
I don't think I'm coordinated enough to ride a drive a motorcycle.
It's all the work.
Yeah.
What you got to basically watch out for are soccer moms and minivans. Those bitches are dangerous.
They don't look, man. They just.
I know. They're bad enough in cars.
I got a dent on my gas can to prove it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I've had one or two close ones with I want to call them soccer moms, but yeah. You know, and you look over as you're going, you go, "What? You didn't hear me coming from 2 miles away with the mufflers that are on this thing? At least you're gonna look around and go, ooh, I think it might be a motorcycle around."
A little lower, Mike. I missed it.
Driver's license, motorcycle license, or what?
Yeah, motorcycle license. What about it?
Why?
Well, he can join us.
Well, yeah.
All we got to do is get Barry on 2 wheels.
Nah, you know, I'd be maybe if I were going to do that, I'd probably have to get one of those spiders.
Get the trike. You don't have to keep your balance.
The thing is that you have to have a 2-wheel license first to ride those things.
Really? So
yeah. My wife wants to ride, but she doesn't want to ride on 2 wheels, and she'll ride one of those, and we looked into it, and in order to qualify, in New York State anyway, to qualify for a motorcycle license, you have to do it on 2 wheels, and then you can drive 3.
The nice thing is in the state of New Hampshire, and I know I've taken the motorcycle rider safeties course.
Yeah, so if I took it in New Hampshire at the New Hampshire Technical Institute.
I took it in Concord at the DMV. If you take that course, the second day, the last day of the training, you actually finish the test right there and then. They'll give you your license upon completion. So they give you the motorcycle, and the training is phenomenal. In the class that I was in, there were 17 people. Now, I've been riding motorcycles since I was, honest to God, 6 years old. Dirt trail bikes.
Yeah.
Now, I took the
little rups and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was riding little XR75 Hondas and then KZ80s and CR125s. So I was riding trails for forever, motocross. And honestly, I took the course because it had been a pretty good gap since I had ridden it on the street when I got my license in New Hampshire. And I thought, you know what? It'll be a nice refresher. It's $100. And, at the very least, it'll remind me of stuff that I already knew. I may actually learn something that I didn't know before. Because I've been riding on, like I said, on 2 wheels and on the street for years. I took that course for 17 people. Over half the class had never sat on a motorcycle, let alone started one, let alone worked the gears on it. They had never sat on a motorcycle before.
Wow.
And that was on a Friday. That was on a Monday night. A Monday night, you go there, you watch videos for motorcycle safety, and you take a little quick quiz on what you just watched. Not tough. Mm-hmm. You show up 8 o'clock the next morning, bring your lunch. They're wheeling motorcycles out of a shed.
Really?
So pick the bike that you want to ride, because this is the one you're going to ride throughout for the next day and a half. So I'm like, okay, fine. I jumped on a Honda Nighthawk, and which was, trust me, real small for me, but it's there, and it's a motorcycle. These folks are getting on it from the second of how to get on, and literally how to get on a motorcycle, to how to pick one up, to how to start it, to what every lever, button, and knob does. These, in 2.5 days, these folks went from half of them never having ridden on a motorcycle to not only were they competent in riding on the motorcycle, confident in their skills, they passed the road test.
Wow.
That's this incredible. This course, these trainers are incredible with this course. And I actually,
I can totally attest to that because I took a similar course that Joe did right in Nashua, Nashua Amherst area, wherever NHTI is, because I went through the same process. Is that you go there for a few hours on Friday, and it's all classroom stuff with a quiz at the end, mm-hmm. and then the next day and a half you go through and. For the first time that you're on the bike, you don't even start the engine. They teach you how to walk with the bike, how to maneuver the bike, how the steering works, and things like that. And once you do actually start the engine and start running the bike with the engine on, you get to know the idea. Some of the things they cover in the class are like how centrifugal force holds the bike up. So as long as you're rolling and moving, the mm-hmm. bike is going to have a natural tendency to stand up on its own. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it stand up. It'll stand up automatically as long as you're moving. And it tells you a lot of things about different ways of moving at slow speed and at fast speed and things. And they bring you through all that stuff that you learned in the class the first day. The next day and a half, you do all that stuff in the course that they have laid out. And these are all like 250cc motorcycles, so it's not like you're going to, twist the throttle and tear off into like 5 yards or anything.
Right.
You know, it's mainly a skills and confidence building experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
great.
Go there to that class, and by the time you're done with it, you know what you need to know to start riding a motorcycle safely on the road.
Exactly.
You don't know all you need to know for your whole lifetime, but
right.
you know how to operate it safely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically,
on the road. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what it's what driver ed was in high school. By the time mm-hmm. you were done with that, you weren't a good driver. But you were competent enough to not kill anybody, and you were confident enough that you could continue to do so and continue to learn and be more experienced. This
right.
is the same kind of thing. So if you, even if you feel that you can't ride a motorcycle, take the course. It might convince you that, yeah, this is not a problem, because it really is pretty simple. There's a lot of things you got to pay attention to, more so than a car, because there's a lot less automatic things that happen. Depending on the bike that you choose, you know, like turn signals don't always turn off automatically on every bike. Mine it doesn't. Other more expensive one it does. But it's an experience, and you're in the wind. You're totally free, and it's a really really nice experience.
Riding through Jaffrey is fantastic. When I come up to visit, I mean, I honest to God, I love going up those backcountry roads at 35 miles an hour. You know, slow, just the smelling the fresh cut grass, and when you ride past a certain area, you can tell when someone's got hot dogs on the grill, and you know, it's just so, the hay fields off to the right. You know, it is so beautiful, so peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And especially just to pull up and around the road, it is so nice, and you're like, wow, you know, it's a whole new level of decompress.
Hmm.
I agree. I have a 500cc Kawasaki that I can tool around down the highway at about 85, 90 miles an hour without any problem at all. It just settles into a rhythm and just pups along, but usually on the interstate I tend to go about 75-80, depending on what the maximum speed limit is. A little mm-hmm. slower if it's like a 55 speed zone, but most around here are like 65. But on back roads, I'm right with Jash. I just want to slow down, and I want to experience what's around me, you know. And like, really, an interstate is the wrong place to be on a motorcycle, because
interstates are no fun. I mean, that's just getting from land. On a motorcycle, yeah. But it's when you actually go out of your way to take the back roads, and the reason being is because, let's say you're tooling down the road, and you see, and I've done this, someone who's having a yard sale, or you see something that, and I've pulled over, and it's so easy to pull over on a motorcycle and take a picture. I've gone past like little waterfalls and little creeks,
yeah,
and I'm like, wow, that's pretty. I'll pull over, get my iPhone out, take a picture. You know, and it, just because it's so pretty in a car, it's kind of a pain in the ass sometimes to pull over, or worse yet, trying to merge back onto the road. Motorcycle, it's a piece of cake. That's also why people are probably who play Ingress ride. About a bunch of them, because on your bike, you can scoot right over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I can see. Not, you play Ingress, a motorcycle would be a great way to do it.
Not to mention, it's, you know, if you often, and I say this to a bunch of friends of mine that are thinking about riding. Have you ever driven down somewhere? Let's say you're going to a buddy's house and you're following the directions to get there. Or you've been here once or twice, but there's always that one road that's off to the left. You're like, wow, I wonder where that goes. But you're thinking, well, I don't really know where it's going to come out at. And I don't just want to willy-nilly drive down it, because what if it dead ends and I can't really turn around easy to get back out? When you're on a motorcycle, that's never the case. You're like, yeah, I'll go down it. Honestly, I've learned more streets, more roads, more dirt roads, even paved streets, where it's like, I think, you know, you go down it just to see where it goes, because I got my GPS on the windshield. Yeah. And then after a while, you go, wait a minute, I think this is going to come out on such and such a road. And then you find out that it does. Mm-hmm. And now a road that you never in a million years would have gone down in your car, because it would have been... It could have been a hassle. You'll go down in a heartbeat on a bike.
Yeah. Well, you're convincing me.
Honestly, it is. The trick is having a bike, what I personally say, is big enough that you're comfortable on. I don't mean big as in powerful. Yeah. I mean big as in, my bike's heavy. It's like driving a Sherman tank. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's when I'm riding down the road at highway speeds, and I don't do 90 miles an hour. I won't. It's not safe. If I keep up with the flow of traffic when I'm going on the highway, and I look forward to getting off the highway and on the local roads as soon as possible, because that's when you really enjoy the ride more. But yeah,
you want curves.
The thing of it is you know, it's just tree-lined streets and tree-lined roads and so forth are just so much nicer. A highway is the highway is the highway. You put your feet on. I rode with an open-face helmet, so I put earplugs in. So, and it's for the wind. The wind, if you have an open-faced helmet that doesn't go over your ears, the wind blowing past your ears is maddening. So I run with earplugs in, and then you got your goggles on, and you just kind of sit there, and, you know, you're cruising down the road, and you're thinking, boy, I can't wait to get to my exit where I can slow down a little bit and enjoy the ride more, because it's 70 miles an hour. There ain't a whole hell of a lot to see, aside from looking out for what Yahoo's going to try and run me over.
I don't think I'd want to go 70 miles an hour on a motorcycle. I know you guys do it, and it probably naturally happens as you get used to it, confident. But
you get to a point where you have to get from this fun area of riding to the other fun area of riding, and the easiest way, the quickest way, is to jump on the interstate.
Yeah, jump on the highway, shoot down to where you got to go, and then get off.
You know, once you're on there, you don't want to waste time on the interstate, because, you know, that's like the worst type of motorcycle riding, because, you know, it's all just mostly straight ahead, boring curves. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like, la, 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 you know, and your attention tends to stray a bit, which you don't want on a motorcycle. Right. You want to be on a road that's a low speed, twisty kind of road where you're just like enjoying the turns. You can lean into the turns and just hit the gas coming out at the other side, and just enjoy the symmetry of you and a machine acting as one, because the machine is dependent upon you just as much as you are on the machine, and the two of you just kind of like meld into like just one entity, just rolling along, you know, and it's really nice.
And you want to talk about cheap on gas? Hey, let's look at it this way. And I know you got a Prius, so that really doesn't come into play, but honestly, if you said, okay, I'm going to drink my cup of coffee, or I'm sitting at home, and I'm like, all right, time to go to work, and you take your laptop and you throw it in your saddlebags, and then you get on your bike, you could have a full... I love the guys who have the BMWs. Those motorcycles are so nice. They got heated suits, full face helmets. Seriously, they're riding in November and December. Wow. But the thing is you get on your bike, you put your stuff in your bag, and you go, and you got the radio to listen to. My bike has a radio, but good luck ever trying to hear it over the exhaust. And well,
you drive a Harley, that's why. Well, you're one of the
guys. Not just any Harley. Josh, Joel has a very, very special Harley.
Yeah, it's plus with the pipes that I put on it. Yeah, it's yeah. You're not going to hear the radio. You don't even bother turning it on.
Why would you want a radio?
You don't exactly.
Put those pipes on it, for crying out loud. You want to listen to those pipes, right?
And it sounds nice. It's not too loud. I had straight pipes on it at one point in time, and I hated them. I hated them. Because the bike was so, it was so, yeah, no kidding. I was riding down, like, you know, a city street through the city of Nashua, and the sounds bouncing off the houses, and it sounded like I was doing 9,000 miles an hour, and I was doing 30. You know, it was way too loud. And I actually took those pipes out and threw them in the trash. I put a different set on there that did have, you know, better, it had good baffles on it, and it's enjoyable now. But, yeah, I mean, the thing is in other touring bikes, and that's what I really look at is the touring motorcycles, because, yeah, you can have a cup holder so you can drink your coffee while you're riding.
Yeah, those things are cool. I like, they're more my style, but they cost a ton of money, right?
No, they do not.
Really?
You can buy a great quality used bike for very reasonable money. They've got adjustable windshield, heated hand grips, cigarette lighter for your radar detector. They have plug-in radios and Bluetooth so you can listen to your podcast and your radio and your helmet while you're riding.
Who makes those? Are they Hondas mostly?
Everybody. Honda makes them. The Goldwing, BMW makes them. Kawasaki makes them. Yeah, Harley-Davidson is the only one that I found that. And they do have, you know, the radio and stuff, but some of those other niceties, or what I'm going to call bells and whistle features, their newer bikes will have, but they're going to set you back some serious coin for the new bikes.
Well, anything Harley will set you back some serious coin.
No kidding.
They've come up with some newer ones. They actually are marketing a 750 and a 500 coming up in 2015 that are pretty reasonably priced.
Yeah,
which for Harley is phenomenal. I mean, they've never ever done that. They've never really strayed away from the big motors.
It's well, the 1340. Oh, that's what mine is. And mine is small by today's standards. But yeah, the V twin or the Evo, my Evo Evolution motor. It's in most of them. It's actually in all of them now. But the bikes are a lot lighter. I mean, so they're made with a lot of composites. They get 50 miles to the gallon, 46 miles to the gallon. I mean, I'll tell you, I love my Harley, and I don't think I'll ever get rid of it. But I can tell you, my next bike that I buy won't be one. It'll be one of the touring bikes, probably a BMW.
I've seen those touring bikes, and they actually make sleeping trailers that you can pull.
Absolutely.
Like small little trailers, but, you know, big enough that you can, you know, go and you crank the thing up and then sleep in it.
I remember talking to Michael about a year ago, thinking about maybe I'm just going to get out from riding on together and be done with it, until I got on my bike again and I realized just how much I missed it. After now that the knees are fixed and every, you know, they can take the weight, and then I thought, well, the only thing is I'm getting older, so I want to be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want
really
to be exceptionally comfortable while I'm riding. And, you know, my thought processes is the next bike will be a full on touring motorcycle, you know, with the windshield, what I call the old man bike.
Yeah.
The one where I'm on two wheels and it doesn't scream and the exhaust is just, you know, but you can go.
Good shaft drive, nice and smooth.
Yeah, you betcha. You know, it's just like, you know, super absurdly comfortable seats.
Had two doors and it's a small car. Yeah.
Well, almost.
Yeah, two doors and it's a Prius.
That's true. But now I know what you're talking about. Actually, that's why the spiders look pretty interesting, too. Because
the spiders look wicked cool. I have to admit, at first, I wanted to scoff at him, and then I met a guy who lost his leg. He rode for years, like 30 years, got hit by a drunk driver, and lost his leg from the knee down. And with his prosthesis that he had on, which is a really nice prosthesis, but he said, you know what, I don't want to be riding. I can't ride on two wheels, but I don't want to give up riding. He got one of those spiders. And the three-wheel, and he's like, you know what, I'm back riding again. He said, you know what, my prosthesis, I can operate this machine safely. And he said, at the same time, too, I don't have to worry about toppling over at low speeds. Yeah. Still got the same worries as you do as a motorcycle, someone running over you. But, right. you know, it's. I looked at that and I said, you know what? That's. I can see where that's got a lot of benefit to it, riding mm-hmm. the spiders.
Yeah. Yep, they look cool. But,
well, yeah. guys, I got to be heading out.
Okay. Are you on a trip? Are you on a trip or are you at home, Barty?
Right now I'm home. I'll be home next week, and then the following week I'll be going to L.A.
Okay.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, so, well, this is funny, because this is a trip that was supposed to have happened in February, which would have been a fantastic time to go to L.A. I mean, you know, we had like 4 or 5 feet of snow here, and it was freezing, and, you know, L.A., they're still jumping in the ocean, and I'm thinking, all right, I could do that for a week.
Yeah. You know? Now you're going in July.
Well, what's even worse is that I was supposed to have gone to L.A. in February and then come back for a week or two and then gone to Qatar. And now it looks like I'm going to be going to Qatar like in August or something. And it's like, can't we delay that to like December?
Yeah, really. January? Oh, that would suck.
Yeah, it definitely will. I've been there before in the August, September time frame, and that's not a good time to be over there. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Those are the two trips I've got coming up. Qatar is still kind of up in the air because one of the customers has to get software levels approved. They have to get it boarded. And, you know, when the board meets, they don't have control over. So. But it's really kind of funny because there are other agencies involved, and they're like, well, let's just say, screw these people. We want to get it done now and let them just be on their own. And, of course, you know, our governing authority, the entity we work for, is saying, no, we're not paying for two trips. Unless you accept full responsibility for your own upgrade, we're not going to plan two trips. And, of course, they don't want to do that. They want us to come out there and do the upgrade for them because they know it'll work. You know, whereas, I mean, whoever they send out there is going to be doing their best guesses, and, you know, they don't want any part of that. I mean, they've already tried that once. Mm-hmm. That's what's got that up in the air. So those are the two things I'm mainly looking forward to.
All right.
So I should be here next week.
Okay.
Sorry I was late today, but I was playing GTA 5 with my son and grandson, and I play online with those guys, I never pass it up.
Yeah.
So we ended up having a late dinner because of that.
Yeah.
So
that's all right. You came in. That was good. It's good to hear from you. And
It's good hearing from you guys too.
So all right, well, take care, Barty, and we'll see you next week then.
Yeah, I expect to make it next week. Okay. So hey, everybody, have a good week, huh?
You too.
You too.
Bye bye.
Okay.
We'll see ya.
All right, I guess it's that time for Joel to review yet another old TV show with Entertainment Last Month.
And welcome to another edition of Entertainment Last Month.
You just woke Michael up. Michael's head popped up. What? Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. I actually came across this show. I had it saved off of Netflix for a while now. And for I don't know what took me so long to finally... You know, select this show and begin to watch episode one of series one. But the name of the show is Boss with Kelsey Grammer. Now, basically, this show ran from 2011 to 2012 on the Starz network. Mm-hmm. And why the hell is that? That's not right. Here he goes. Yeah, it's a character, Mayor Tom Kane. Mm-hmm. Who's the mayor of Chicago, gets diagnosed with a dementia disorder and struggles to keep grip on his power in Chicago. Now, when I watched Netflix, it said, you might like to watch this because you were looking at House of Cards. So it's on that same very it's political structuring, power struggle,
yeah,
kind of storyline. And I'll tell you, I'm into up to episode three, I believe, and it is damn good. Awesome character development, good storylines too. Kelsey Grammer plays the mayor of Chicago. Like I said, Mayor Tom Kane. He plays this character so well. I find it to be a little. I didn't think he was capable of convincing me because I'm so used to him being Dr. Fraser Crane.
Yeah.
That when you watch him as Mayor Tom Kane, you're like, wow, he's a hell of an actor. Hmm. You know, and I know what I've seen, you know, Kelsey Grammer in has been very, 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 very limited compared to offshore roles he's had. Yeah. But he's, well, hats off to him. He's got me convinced. I'm sorry the thing got canceled. Yeah. Or it's over, but give it a watch. It's a lot of big name stars in it. Great plot twists. Not a show you want to watch with the kiddies around. I'll tell you that right now, because there's always, I think, and it much like Defiance, every episode has got a nude sex scene in it. Oh, not every. Yeah, every episode will have at least one sex scene in it somewhere. We're going to see a little something, something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that being said, you don't want the kids in the room when you're watching it. Yeah. But, yeah, it's 18 episodes. Yeah, from 2001 to 2011 to 2012.
Okay. You know, it was supposed to continue on, but the rumor I heard was that, Kelsey Grammer is one of those actors that falls slightly right of center. In his political leanings, and he said something, and Hollywood got upset, and basically,
they blackballed him.
Yeah, yeah, on that show, and it was a good show, and it didn't make any sense whatsoever. But that's the way Hollywood rolls. So.
Yeah, Hollywood is very left. We all know Hollywood is always left.
Yeah.
And if you show too much support, either pro-military, to what they consider to be right-wing opinionated, and you work in Hollywood, you can pretty much find yourself blackballed and out of a job just for having an opinion that's different than everybody else's, which is a pretty damn, that's a shame. It really, really is, but it just is what it is.
Right.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that he voiced his opinion.
Right.
And, it's not unfortunate that he voiced his opinion. I want to retract that. I think it's a great thing he voiced his opinion. It's a shame that for voicing his opinion, he got penalized.
Right. Well, that's the way, you know, you can be right of center in Hollywood as long as you keep your mouth shut. But if you don't keep your mouth shut, you know, because as they say, oh yeah, the First Amendment's there. The First Amendment's for everybody, but there are actions that can happen if you say the wrong thing. I mean, say something that I disagree with. You know.
Right. Right. So. And, well, you know, I learned a few interesting factoids from one of the episodes, which one of the episodes centers around his wife, the mayor's wife, Kelsey Grammer's wife, in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And she's at a school, and it's a school that was closing, and this is an elementary school that she had attended back in the 60s, early 60s. I believe, maybe like, early 60s.
Yeah.
Where in this little factoid she had mentioned as part of the script that at that time, America was number one in maths and science.
Right.
Of the education systems of the countries of the world.
Right.
And when that was shot, which was in 2011, America was 48th.
Yep.
And you said to yourself, wow, I wonder if that's any truth to that. So, of course, I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. And it is. And you say to yourself, holy shit, how the school system has completely turned to crap.
Yep.
You know, what teachers are too busy, you know, in the storyline, it's one of the ones that they were saying that they're so worried about being tenured that, you know, or they're underpaid in such a fashion that they're really not, you know, driving home the education for the kids is it's taking a back seat to keeping my damn job.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's partially that, but you know, the say, for the teacher's sake too, it's also a lot of how people feel. I mean, like I said, when we were in grammar school, and yes, I was in grammar school back in the 60s, you know, you did something stupid and your parents would get called in and they would be apologizing to the school and yelling at you, and you would get punished for doing the stupid thing. Today,
which is the way it should be.
Yeah, today a kid does a stupid thing, parents get called in, and they're threatening to sue the school, the teachers, the principal, because how dare you treat my poor beloved child like
precious little Jimmy.
Yeah, he could have never done anything like that, and if he did, then it must have been your fault that he did that.
How about your lousy parents, and you don't rear the kids at home, and so they bring home that shitty attitude, and they think they're entitled and privileged to do anything that they want.
So now schools are just protecting themselves against lawsuits.
Exactly, you know? And it's a damn shame, because, I mean, as a teacher, you used to look up to your teachers. Hell, I remember, you know, well, that's this one episode in this television program. We're kind of going down another rabbit hole, but I remember some teachers that left a huge positive mark in my life, actually a turning point as far as the development of me as a person and where I wanted to go and who I was going to be about. One of them was a teacher of mine. He's since passed away. Awesome guy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely awesome guy. Awesome teacher. You ended up learning from him by accident. You didn't even realize you were learning history and civics from him while he sat and we talked. Charlie Kitchman, in one of my ninth grade high school history teacher. This guy was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, down to earth, easy to talk to. He was a bartender in the summer.
Yeah.
At a local, you know, and but teachers, it's just, I look back and I get some fond, super fond memories. And nowadays, kids don't respect teachers, or if some, they do, it's they're few and far between.
Right. Oh, and another thing that's different these days, too, and this isn't true in every school, but I've seen it happen in some schools. Teachers were like Mr. Bender and Mrs. Winnikoff, or Miss, you know, Mr. This or Ms. Smith. It wasn't Bob or Julie or, you know. Yeah, they weren't trying to be everybody's friend. I'm not your friend, I'm your teacher. Yeah.
I'm here literally to instruct and guide you.
Yes.
Not to mention, but on the flip side of the coin, teachers also weren't trying to sell a political ideal.
Yeah,
which is, that's true. My kids are both in high school now, and they come home, and I hear the shit that they're being told by the vast majority of the teachers there, and how anti-military they are, how anti-constitution that they are, touchy-feely, everybody love more government in your business kind of speech that they're getting hammered with day in and day out. And it drives me absolutely crazy when I hear about it. I'm like, it's not their political, it's not the venue for them to sell a political ideal.
Yeah.
And they're doing it to kids, and it's because it's the perfect audience. They're building their future audience, their future voters.
Yep. Take over the press, take over the schools.
Yep.
And it becomes one-sided real quick.
Good thing my kids are, they listen to their old man.
There you go. All right, so Boss is the name of the show. Somehow we got on school. Oh, I know, we got on schools because you were talking about
the episode with the schools and the statistics as far as maths and sciences. So, but yeah, it's a good, really good show. Political, if you don't like political shows, don't watch it. I think you'd be really pleasantly surprised to see how this goes, right up to and including murder, mayhem, intrige. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm also at the same time too following Carnival at the same time, which is really developing into an awesome.
I watched a couple more of those this week too, and it's I like it.
You know, the more you're watching, like, why is it I'm catching up with these shows after, you know, a year or 2 years after their season? And you think, geez, I mean, it's good in one respect because you can marathon them versus having to wait that week in between. But could you have been the difference from it being not canceled to canceled had I been watching it when it was actively running?
Yeah, probably not.
that's the reality of it.
Yeah. You know, and some of them, they just run their course. So, yeah, you know, some aren't canceled. Some were supposed to run a certain time limit. And
yep. And then the storyline ends.
Yeah. Right. Which I personally like it that way. I don't want to watch a show that got canceled because it's like, you're not finishing the story. You know? So I'd much rather have it have a beginning, middle, and end.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I hear possible. You, sir.
So, all right.
Well, boss, give it a watch.
Yeah. And so that ends our segment on entertainment last month, and we roll right into Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. And tonight, I'm going to tell you about the trials, tribulations, and victory of finally figuring out the braking system of a 30-year-old Harley-Davidson. Which I had a hell of a time trying to figure it out. I guess for our new listeners and for those who haven't actually turned off their podcast players yet, the brakes on the back of my Harley locked up on its very first maiden voyage ride of this season, which led to a very interesting ride and hoping not to be on fire while I was going home. It took me about a week and a half, a fair amount of research, and a few schematics, hydraulic schematics, mm-hmm. and taking every damn piece of body panel, the seat, the tank, side panels, the battery box. I mean, I was stripping parts off my bike left and parts that I've never taken off to try and find the rear master cylinder. And I finally found it. Of course, it's under that very last piece that you remove and you go, oh, there it is. Well, shit, had I started with that, I got to save myself 2 days of aggravation. But yes, brand new brakes, $60 for a set of brakes for a 30-year-old Harley.
Really?
I can do brakes on my entire car, front and rear, for about the same price.
Yeah, that's what happens when you ride a classic.
Exactly. And you're like, holy crap, these things are salty. But, yeah, so I got her put back together, what was it, last Sunday? And decided I was going to take it out for a ride and really make sure that I had rear brakes. And, whew, boy, I got them now like I never had before. In other words, stand on the rear brake, and for the first time, I'm locking up the back tires, skidding.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, this is what they're supposed to be like since the day I bought the bike. Wow. So it's all back together, and now, of course, I just get it done, and we haven't had a day yet where they said it's going to be clear, sunny skies. It's always been cloudy with a chance of showers.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, are you serious? I finally want to ride the bike to work, enjoy it, you know, enjoy my ride in, nice and early, 5 o'clock in the morning kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, every day, raining or drizzle or probably rain or mostly rain, and you're like, well, I don't want to get stuck riding in the rain. That would just suck.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for it. I'm checking. I mean, it's spring's holding true. But yet the bike's back together again. And,
cool. That was quicker than you thought.
Conditioning. Yeah, it was quicker than I thought. I was kind of worried for a while there, but I just decided one day I came home from work. Actually, I think it was last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I came home and decided, you know what? I refuse to let this sit any longer. I'm going to find out how this thing works. And although I've never done one on a Harley, never done one on a bike this old. And replace them, bleed them, get everything working right. And, so it was about three hours into it before I got it all put together. Then when I went to test ride it down the street, I didn't put any of that shit back on. So the skins were off of it, all the plastics. I just put the seat on. I was just sitting on it. I didn't bolt it in place. And I'm riding it down the street with the battery hanging out just so I could see. Because I'm like, if I got to take all this stuff back off again because something's out of adjustment, yeah. I'm going to be aggravated.
Yeah, definitely. That was a smart thing.
My neighbors think I'm a little crazy.
Yeah, that's all right.
They're, They already knew that.
Yeah, I was going to say, really? They think you're a little crazy? I think they already know that.
Yeah, I think I probably showed that hand.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're good to go there. You know, the bike's done, and now I'm just waiting for that good riding weather.
Yeah.
Before it gets too unbearably hot, in which case all I want to do is sit in air conditioning.
That's true. We haven't even pulled our air conditioners out yet. I'm going to have to start thinking about that.
Oh, you haven't installed? Yeah, but see, it's always 10 degrees cooler there than
it is here. Yeah, I mean, it's always cool in the evening, and it hasn't been that bad during the day because it's been raining. So
true.
Yeah,
true.
But
I got all of ours in. Six of them in.
Yeah.
And but it's I got to fix the air conditioning on Wilson. That's the next thing.
Definitely.
I charged up the AC on the Mrs. car and give it a good service, so that's all squared away. But I got to definitely do my car this year. Last year when I first got Wilson, remember it was 100 and let's see, you were pushing a lawnmower.
Yeah, I was
40 and 111 degree heat, and I had just bought Wilson and discovered the tried to charge the air conditioning, only to have it blow the charge out as fast as I was putting it in. And I'm like, what the hell? The compressor turned on for a minute. And so that being the case, I said, oh shit, I found where the leak was, and now I know what I gotta do to fix it.
Yeah. Yep. Oh god, sorry. Oh, it's that 5K.
Up there.
It's that 5K.
Long day.
So I guess that brings you know 45
what? 45 degrees here.
45 what? Degrees.
It's 45 it's, degrees.
45 degrees feels like 38.
Okay, well, here it's 53 degrees outside right now.
Oh, okay.
Here it's 64.
Yeah, it got cool. Right.
It's not that cool. It's muggy. We still got the air conditioning on in the bedroom. Really?
My air conditioning went off. It was on when I first came up here, but it's off now. And there was quite a bit of a breeze coming through right before I came up here. And mm-hmm. I think that brought a cold front in. With it, so it's all right. Good sleeping weather. Don't need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't need to be window running open.
Fan in the window.
Yeah, I don't even have the fans out yet. I mean, it's that cool. I mean, we haven't had a hot night yet here.
Really?
No. Jeez. Right, we got covers on. We're wearing using covers still at night. So, yeah.
I still do run the furnace if I had more propane, but I'm stretching it out right now.
Yeah. Well, it's time to find out what's going on up in the Upper Peninsula, Upperland. And, you know, I think we need to find a theme song.
Yeah.
I have to come up with one, you know.
First of all, I got to apologize. And I know my head bobbing up and down on this end. I hit the wall about 45 minutes ago. I don't know why.
Oh, well, I could probably figure out why. Yeah, this is probably the first 45 minutes you've actually sat down in 5 days.
Yeah, probably pretty close to that.
Yeah.
This is like a comfortable seat. I've got a beer, I've got a popcorn you've been seeing me eat over here. And yeah. Also, talking about nice drives down the road on the motorcycle. I'm like, oh, yeah. Back in Arizona, riding my Kawasaki down the desert. So, speaking of beer, though, yes, we're in Copper Harbor. Yes, Brickside Brewery turned 2 years old last Monday.
Wow! Congratulations. So
2 years and 5 days.
Yes, happy anniversary, happy birthday. What would you say? It's good for them.
Congratulations, they've survived.
Yes.
It's good to see my friend continue to do well. Distribution is getting to be more widespread, and he's continuing to come up with just really cool flavors.
That's neat.
As I think I mentioned, my latest fave is the Turkish coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was drinking tonight. And except he doesn't have it bottled yet, so I've got a porter with me now. But and now, in addition to the growlers, they're considering carrying grumblers.
What's a grumbler?
A grumbler is half a growler.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. The point is, then you can get a couple of smaller ones if you want to have more than one flavor.
Isn't that like a pint?
No.
They're bigger than a pint?
This is the smallest bottle he had. It's a pint and a half.
Okay, yeah, I've seen those. Actually, believe it or not, Market Basket, in their beer section, at least the one in Ringe, where we go shopping, they have a shelf with all pint and a half bottles in there for microbreweries. I'm surprised. For a supermarket, it's like...
it's good selection.
Yeah. So, they cost a little more. They're like, I don't know, $11 a pop or something like that, but you're guaranteed to have a good beer. So... Yeah, we got to get out there because we want to check out the Brickside Brewery.
Yes, yes, you do.
Yes,
and the rest of the sites.
So see. When are we going?
And of course, there's fudge.
That's right, there is fudge.
There's fudge and ice cream. Maybe a town of 90 people, but we have two places that sell ice cream. Actually, more than that. We have two places that serve ice cream, you know, on Sundays and cones, and then, of course, you can buy it packaged, too.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Joel and I were talking about it. We were trying to coordinate our schedules and stuff, and we're thinking probably, you know...
I'm far away, sorry.
We were thinking maybe first or second week of February would be the best time to come out the copper. Carver.
You coming out by Snowcat?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm out here laughing.
I don't remember hearing that conversation.
I'm thinking October maybe, not February.
Yeah, it might not be bad. Well, no, they probably got about 4 feet of snow in October.
Yeah, about a foot by the end of the month.
So we go out at the beginning of October, or we go out September.
September. That might not be bad.
September is awesome.
Yeah.
September is a great month to come up.
Hmm.
The bugs are gone, the weather's nice during the day, cool colors are changing,
yeah.
Cool at night.
Yeah, that might be a.
Of course, that's almost all year round, but we'll get a week of hot temperatures in there somewhere. At least what we consider hot.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you consider, you know, if it gets in the 70s, it's like 100 degrees warmer than it was over the winter. So it's all relative.
That's funny. It's 70 degrees, and that's 100 degrees warmer than it was in the winter. You got to think about that.
The 80s, you know. You go to town, you do the 35 miles going down the town, and it'll be 10, 15 degrees warmer.
Wow.
And because you're getting out of the center of Lake Superior, which is still, Lake Superior is still like 37 degrees.
There was an article that said it still has icebergs all over the place.
Yes, yes. Down towards the southern islands, I was just talking to someone tonight because I'm possibly going to be helping move a yacht. And they have new electronics on it.
Not the boats again. You did that a bunch of times last year.
in the water, on Lake Superior, sailing.
Oh, okay.
It has all new electronics, and they want something, some electrical engineering on board that understands RF and microwave and electronics.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to say
it's a hired job. It's an actual paying job.
I don't think the poor Jeep will pull a yacht.
No,
not this one. No, not this one.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
that's a neat idea.
What do they call it? The maneuvering motor on it when it's not sailing. It's like a 6-cylinder diesel.
Really?
Ah.
Yeah, it's not a small boat.
Hmm.
Anyhow, I diverged here. Where was I? Oh, so yeah, we were talking about icebergs. Yes, there's a 1,000-foot chunk of ice still somewhere down south of me.
Wow.
And they're still concerned about, there's still ice apparently on the water that's like 2 or 3 feet under the water. It's just kind of like semi-buoyant.
Okay,
It's still a couple feet thick, so you got to watch out for those as well. It's not totally up at the top.
No, well, icebergs, majority of it's beneath the water anyway.
Right.
You know, so, wow, that's interesting. So,
yeah. And as I mentioned in the show notes here, last night, probably why I'm tired tonight, but because we've been preparing for it for a while, but we had our annual Fireman's Spaghetti Dinner. Like every town, I'm sure, has of some sort. But big deal here. You have a silent auction and a bake sale and all the things you expect. We actually have a very, very productive fundraising effort for our fire department, because all the guys get involved in everything. And because of that, they have their own budget, they buy most of their own equipment, and have very little draw on the township itself, as far as any funds are concerned. But the Mariner North, the place you've seen in many pictures, mm-hmm. Sponsors it every year. They supply the facilities and the food and everything else. And fire department, guys like me go out, bustles, and clean up and sure everything's been set up. And
cool.
A good time was had by all.
Neat.
I'm probably not hyping it the way it should be, because it was a cool event. But people come from all over for this, and they really do a good job with it.
Now, isn't Midnight Pizza coming up here soon?
It should be.
Yeah.
It's a ship without a captain.
Okay. Well, that'd be a shame. That sounds like a job for you, Michael. Add it to your list.
Oh, yeah. Right. I would seriously consider just going up to the top of Brock on that day with my wife and kids and just having pizza.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, get a job, as if he's not stretched thin enough already.
I know. That's why I said it.
And there's a portal up there. So.
There we go. You know, there's a portal on top of Mount Monadnock.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And it flips quite often between red and or green and blue. And that's because it's the second most hiked mountain in the world. So.
Holy crap. Okay. Really?
Yep. You didn't know that? Only
no.
One mountain that's hiked more than Mount Monadnock in the world. That's Mount Fuji.
Wow.
Yep. So.
Well, part of the fundraiser weekend is we have dinner on Friday night, and then we haul the trash on Saturday and Sunday. And that's another thing. It's a big deal for us, because it's expensive to haul stuff up here and down the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
The nearest transfer station of any kind is over an hour's drive away.
Jeez.
And to get a dumpster up here is a couple of grand.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big deal. So the township once a year brings up many big dumpsters, and then the fire department volunteers the manpower to help people load stuff in and just keep an eye on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I had some things come up today that distracted me, although I wasn't signed up today, but I'll be helping tomorrow, and I have a pickup truck full of stuff from the garage that is going to this transfer. Now, we're lucky. I mean, we own a big truck, and we've had this discussion many times before. So Chris and I will, in the course of we'll get to the point where we're ready to clean stuff out. We just load the back of the truck up with a cap on it. And when we make it to town, we make it to town. So it's not like a special trip for us. Well, for us, it's a little bit more economical. But one of the things I'm getting rid of, my crushed hardtop for my Jeep.
Oh.
It's in the bottom of the bed of the truck with all the stuff piled on top of it. And I dragged it. I flipped it over, dragged it on its roof out to the driveway, and then took a pretty rough tooth saw and just literally sawed the corners off of it so I could get it flat. The windows all popped out.
Yeah. Yeah, there was broke. Based on the picture you showed us, there was no hope for it.
No, it's done. Yeah. It was a couple grand worth of hardtop.
The only question I have for you, though, is why was the hardtop not on in the wintertop?
That's because I needed to replace the rear hinges on the glass. They had oxidized so badly that I was afraid that the window was going to fall off.
Okay.
And I was, my were not unfounded, because they both hinges failed right in the places that I expect, that I was worried about.
Yeah.
From the weight of the snow, but they had failed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I wasn't on the Jeep.
Okay.
And now we'll never be on the Jeep again, but. I'm not going to buy another hard top for it. I actually like the soft top, but it was nice having that hard top in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, with the kind of snow that you get and everything, and the temperatures you get, I'm sure that would be a little bit warmer and sturdier.
Heat's not a problem. Mm-hmm. They started putting out very high output heaters in Jeeps about 2000, 2001.
Okay.
So I've never really been cold in the Jeep, but it is quieter with a hardtop. It is nice to have rain gutters on the sides and the doors. Mm. The soft top, anytime you open the door, that soft top comes right down on you.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Yeah.
And the soft window in the back during the winter is a bummer. It's kind of hard to see through it.
Yeah.
You can never keep it clean enough in the winter.
No.
But I don't know. I actually do like, I like the flexibility of being able to throw that top down anytime, and for the, you know, 1 or 2 days a year where it gets above 70.
Jeez.
Sometimes I just take the doors off and the windows out and leave the top on and throw the heat on full, but drive around with the doors and windows off.
Oh, man.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God, excuse me. I'm tired myself.
You know, what else is going on? And I'm not the only one in the clan, by the way, that's still playing, but I will admit that I'm checking in the Clash of Clans about once a day.
Yeah, that's me, and, too.
Me too. And I've been donating troops to Barty.
Yep.
Oh, I haven't seen him
request. I'm at the level now where I do something, and I got to wait 2 or 3 days to see the results anyhow.
Yeah.
So really got that. They've got that part of the strategy backwards, because the more advanced you get, the more you wait around doing nothing, and then you kind of lose interest.
Well, they want you to spend money.
Right. Well, that's their flaw.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you got a bunch of cheapskates here. Where?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind throwing them some money here and there just because I want to support the programmers that make the program. That's cool. But yeah. I'm not going to throw money at it to speed up the game.
Right.
Well, I did to speed up the game already. I'd thrown them $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, cool. And then you kind of, it works great for a while, and then boom, you're right back in the same boat again.
Yeah, you're slow. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm saving up to, I don't know what I'm saving
up for now. I've got 3 builders now. I saved my gems to 3 builders.
Yeah, I have 3 builders, and I was saving up for a 4th builder, and I gotten to the point that I don't need 4 builders. So I started using my gems for building stuff, or I got a couple of those, Tesla towers, and I spent some.
I'm not there yet.
I spent some gems to put in my second Tesla tower. Yeah, that's kind of neat because they're invisible to the attackers, but it just zaps them constantly with electricity.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, so. As a matter of fact, I haven't figured out what it is, but there's something that you can get, and I don't know whether it's a spell or something. I haven't found it anywhere. But all I know is when people attack me, every once in a while somebody will attack me where their guys will show up inside my walls. And in my particular case, they usually always show up in this one space right next to the town center or whatever it is. You know, and they all pop up there, and so they're already inside my walls attacking. So, I got a Tesla tower and put it right next to where they always pop up. And one attack I replayed, and it was great because they're all popping up, and this Tesla tower is just going, taking them out. As fast as they were appearing, this thing was taking them all out. You know? So. That was kind of cool, but I need to get upgraded so I can get those dragons. Those dragons are cool. And they do some harsh damage to you. Yep, somebody's collecting
there.
There
you
go. Cool. No, I'm not.
I didn't hear you. Collect your exotic stuff. There you go. I also put in a tank for the black stuff. But I don't know how you get the black stuff. I have like 24 units of black stuff that showed up.
Yep. You have to have a dark elixir pump.
Yeah, well, I can't get that until I upgrade to the next level. You can buy the tanks at this level, at level 7, but you can't get the pump until level 8. But I do have some. Some showed up in my container, and I don't know whether it's because I'm collecting it from people that attacked me. Or what?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not to the dark elixir point yet.
Yeah. Well, I bought the container because you could buy it now.
Right.
But I can't buy the pumps until I level up. So, or go to the next level, which I had to increase all my gold holding thing so I can hold enough gold to move up and that stuff. So I do have the little fairy angels or whatever that run around now and protect
the healing troops. Angels.
Oh, is that what it is? Healing angels? Yeah.
They keep healing your guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the spell too. But the spell, you know, you hit it and it stays in one area. The little healing angels follow your guys around, so that's kind of neat. Until, of course, they get wiped out by some air defense or
bastards. Oh, to beat those things out.
Yeah, or
your air defense can take them out.
Or a wizard. Okay. A wizard can take them out too. So. Ah,
okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm still playing it. It's not like it doesn't have the draw to me like Ingress does, but you know, while I'm waiting to hit a portal again, I'll bring up Clash of Clans.
And, that's funny. While I'm waiting to hit a portal in Ingress, I'll jump on the Clash of Clans.
You have to wait for your portal to cool down before you hack again.
Yes, and since this new one came out, I don't know whether you've noticed this, Michael, but it used to be you drive up to a portal. I need to get a key. You drive up to the portal, you hack it, and you get a key. Yeah, that's right. Not happening as much anymore. You don't get the key the first try. Yeah. It's like, ah, crap, I got to sit around here for another frickin' 5 minutes, you know?
And, yes, I have noticed that.
Yeah, and I think it's ever since they came out with the capsules, because people are farming keys left and right.
Right.
Because that's what I do. Like, I go through Jaffrey, get all my keys, then I put them in the capsule, and then when I go through Jaffrey again, I get another set of keys, you know?
Yep.
So, but... yeah, so that's kind of a pain in the ass with Ingress. But yes, I play Clash of Clans. I play it nightly during my final constitution of the day. I'm watching. I got my iPhone on one knee, and I'm watching video podcasts, and I got Clash of Clans on my Nexus 7 on my other knee.
You painted such a picture with your name.
And then after I get that done, sometimes there's time to go look at the Ingress map and come up with the morning strategy for going into work. It's the office, can I tell you? But yep.
So, on my final note, and this is thanks to a recommendation from Anthony Marco, but let's see if I can get this here. I don't have it patched in, so I'll try it this way.
Transfer complete.
This is a podcast called Subspace Transmissions, and it's Trekkies all the way, and it covers the entire Star Trek universe.
Really?
All the different shows. I believe they're getting into the movies as well. Yeah, they do. They do a great job. They're up to episode 8, so it's a fairly new podcast.
This isn't the one... No, it's not the same one. There's one out there that has OS Ken, you know, the guy that does OS Ken reports.
Yeah, I know who it is. I don't think he's in here. I'd have to go back and look.
Okay, because he does one with I don't know who it is. I don't know, but they have one too where they discuss nothing but Star Trek stuff. But this one comes recommended.
Comes recommended by Anthony Marco. That's how I found out about it. And, yeah, I like it. It's cool.
Okay.
You got to be a Trekkie, you know, but they've got good album art, as I call it, podcast art. And let's see here. Best and Worst Doubles. Best and Worst Alternative Lives Episodes. Best and Worst Deaths. And I don't have the list of the other episodes. I'm going to do that real quick. Overexplored versus underexplored alien races. These are all show titles, and they did, again, they go through all the different iterations of the show. Most of annoying reoccurring characters, best and worst holodeck programs. So yeah, if you're Trekkie, I highly recommend it. If you're into sci-fi, even if you've been a casual Star Trek watcher, I highly recommend it. At least to catch a couple episodes and see what you think.
Okay.
So that's my recommendation for the week.
All right. Well, I think we better call this one because we're getting close to.
It's been a long one.
We're getting close to no agenda timing here.
they're pushing four now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We're over three on the recorder, but we had 20 minutes of or close to a half hour pre-show. So we're probably sitting at about 2.5 hours on this one. So
let's put it this way. I've fallen asleep twice during this show, and it's my fault. But
you're going to have to edit this puppy down.
It's no. I'm not doing that. It takes too long. I haven't even gotten last show out yet because I got to go in there and freaking edit stuff. My fault, too.
So you have to take out the for you.
Yeah. Yeah. When I mentioned the company that shall not be named. anyway, yes, yeah, so the musical guest tonight is, yet again, insert musical guest here, because I did not have a chance.
Boy, they're popular.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to pick one yet, but I will, and I'll insert it, and I'll tell you who it is when I insert it. And so we'll say out to all the military guys out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you do, especially you OCONUS guys. You know, you're on the front, and you're in places where sometimes it's not so nice, and away from your family and friends, and we know that, and we appreciate it. Thank you, and we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon, and until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
I love that washcloth and the microphone. And from the man cave in Copper Harbor, this is Mike Virtual Uper. Soon to come out with episode 100 of the podcast that shall not be named. But until I think it's ready, I'm an engineer. We're at 99.5. I can do 99.7. I can keep dividing it in half until I'm ready.
too much. And just to let you people know, here's the advertisement for tonight's show. Only two people participating in this podcast fell asleep during the podcast. So
at least I'm not suffering from RMFS.
RMFS.
You and Barty, excellent.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week for show number 144. Until then, here's insert musical guest name here.
Tonight's musical guest is Mask the Menemen with Just My Enemy. Maybe love's just my enemy.
Samson, speak. Good boy.